It's 2007-2008, 10 men's basketball. Setting the scene for the game, going around the Ivy League, and bringing you inside the program with Quaker head coach Glenn Miller, it's the Penn Men's Basketball Pregame Show, presented by Pepsi. Alongside former Quaker Vince Curran, here's Brian Selby.
With a steady snowfall up in the great northeast as the backdrop, the Penn Quakers are set to start the second half of their 8-8 slate. To keep their 10 title hopes alive, they need to succeed on the road, where they only had one win this season. With that, from the Leeds Family Arena, capacity 2,100 on the campus of Dartmouth College in Hanover, New Hampshire, this is Penn Basketball. Brian Seltzer with you here on the Pepsi Pregame Show. It's the Quakers' 25th game of this 2007-2008 campaign. The Red and Blue at 9-15 overall, fourth in the Ivy League at 4-3. Dartmouth 8-14 and tied for seventh in the standings at 1-7. Penn and the Big Green pair up for the 195th meeting this evening. The Quakers an overwhelming edge in the all-time series with a 142-54 mark. They prevailed in the past 22 contests with Dartmouth, and for those of you counting, yes, that is 4,022 days, including the most recent tilt, a 68-66 triumph on February 2nd at the Plushie. Now, normally at this time, I would bring in my regular partner, Vince Curran, but tonight, it is my privilege to be sitting alongside Big Five Hall of Famer, the third leader in all-time scoring average in Penn history, making his return to the radio waves here on the Penn Sports Network. Stan Pavlik, you made it up here despite the snow. You are here.
And Brian, it wouldn't feel like a game at Dartmouth if it wasn't snowing. I did get to see the last Penn-Dartmouth game, and all I can remember is the ball sitting on the rim, waiting to go in and tie the ball game and falling out. And the only difference it was folding and not titleist. Dartmouth did very well against Penn in the second half, and I know that Glenn Miller is looking forward to a very tough game tonight and the start basically of a four-game road trip, which they have to do well in to secure at least a better standing in the Ivy League.
Stand for the Penn Quakers on 4-4 this season. They are 1-8 off campus. What is the key to succeeding when you're away from a regular arena?
I think you just have to pretend you're not away, basically. I think that you have to prepare the same way, and I think that you have a certain degree of comfort when you're on your home floor. But when you play in an away gym, you just have to ignore the crowds and go there with determination that being on a court that's not your own is not going to make any difference at all.
It was a long bus ride up north, but the Penn Quakers made it without Cam Lewis. He is under the weather with a virus, so he did not make the trip. That will thin the Red and Blues front court. Remy Cofield did come along, but he will not be playing. He's still battling some problems with that persisting foot issue. So that's one of the issues I talked to Glenn Miller about. You'll hear that conversation coming up next. Just a few moments away from 9-15, 4-3 Penn, and 8-14, 1-7 Dartmouth. Here in Hanover, New Hampshire, you're listening to the Pepsi Pregame Show on Sports Radio 950. This is the Penn Sports Network.
Everyone knows about Aquafina water, but not everyone knows about the variety of flavored water beverages. First, you have Aquafina Flavor Splash, which is like football. A big bunch of tough guys tackling each other. Actually, it's nothing like that. It's pretty much the exact opposite of that. Flavor Splash has a refreshing fruit flavor, not big or tough, but they both begin with the letter S, so there you go. Next, there's Aquafina Sparkle, which is like soccer. Two teams running down the field, both chasing after one little round ball. And Aquafina Sparkling is carbonated, so it has bubbles, and bubbles are round just like soccer balls. And last, there's the low-calorie Aquafina Alive, which is like baseball. So, the excitement of watching a home run. Got to be in pretty good shape to hit a homer. Sometimes it takes a little something extra, a boost, that comes in a bottle like Aquafina Alive, the drink that has essential vitamins to make you feel good. Aquafina, make your body happy.
The Penn Quakers getting ready to start the second half of their Ivy League schedule in 2008. They sit above 500 in fourth place at 4-3. They are being welcomed by Dartmouth at 1-7, cellar dwelling alongside Harvard. And earlier this evening, I sat down with Glenn Miller, his club trying to get their second road victory of the year, and they're coming off a momentum-generating victory last Saturday by 13 points over the Yale Bulldogs to give them a little boost coming into tonight.
The Quakers set out on the road coming off an important victory over the Yale Bulldogs last Saturday night. How crucial was it for the Quakes to be above 500 the first half of the Ivy League schedule?
Well, it felt good. We faced some good basketball in the second half and got a
night's win. Finally had some separation instead of a, you know, 2 or 3 point ball game. And I just think that the guys came together and played well on both sides of the ball. So hopefully we can carry that good play in the second half from Yale into tonight's game.
You mentioned the separation that the Quakers were able to create against the Yale Bulldogs. Is that something necessary for this group to experience to kind of protect the lead that they had established?
Well, he did make some mental mistakes down the stretch with an 18-point lead. You know, it all worked out in the end, but I just think it's part of the growing process, and we won some close games, we've lost some close games, and it's just another experience being able to play and hold on to an 18-point lead.
Speaking with Quaker head coach Glenn Miller, one thing that seems to have improved the past couple of games over the last three, shooting a combined 80% from the foul line. Can you attribute that turnaround to anything?
Well, we've been working a lot on our foul shooting. I think, by and large, though, it's getting your best shooters to the line the majority of the time. That's usually the trick. And, you know, Tyler got to the line and a few of the other guys who can knock them down. But, you know, we've been working on it. Most teams were getting to the foul line, so it's important that we're able to convert.
Another encouraging indication is that the turnovers seem to be dwindling a little bit. How pleased are you with the way that your program's protecting the basketball?
I'm pleased. It's got to keep on improving. We have to get the most out of every possession on both sides of the ball. We don't have much of a margin for error, so every possession is critical. We tell the guys that.
I'm able to help you with possessions tonight. Both Bernie Cofield, who made the trip, he's out with his foot injury, and Cam Lewis is a little bit under the weather. How do you work around their absences?
Well, we just, you know, other guys, we have to have them step up. We've been playing quite a few guys this year. We've had a large rotation, so it's an opportunity for some other guys to contribute.
Especially in the front court, it has to give you some comfort based on the way that Justin Riley played in that last game against Yale.
Well, we're hoping some carry over tonight. He's still got to improve on the defensive end, but, you know, 15 points was a career high for him, and it has to be a confidence boost. You know, he'll be in the rotation tonight, and you might see Brennan Bocall tonight also.
Talking with Glenn Miller, the John R. Rockwell head coach of men's basketball here at Penn. We're discussing injuries on the Penn side, and throughout this past week, it was a little bit up in the air as to whether Dartmouth's leading scorer and rebounder Alex Barnett is going to play, but as you look across the court, there he is warming up. What's it like having to prepare for a game, not sure if the opposing squad star player is going to go?
Oh, without that kind of inside information, we just prepare like he's going to play, and he looks pretty healthy to me out there, Brian, so I think we did the right thing. He's an all-conference player, guy that can create his own shot, and a very tough guard. We did a pretty good job on him last game, Brian did, but it'll be a challenge tonight playing at home.
That is Glenn Miller, the head coach of the Penn Quakers, as they get ready for the Dartmouth Big Green at 8-14 overall, 1-7 in the Ivy League. And now the starting lineup for Glenn Miller's Quakers, who come into tonight's contest at 9-15 overall in fourth place in the Ancient Eight at 4-3. In the backcourt, Tyler Bernardini at 6'6", 205 pounds. He's the freshman guard from Carlsbad, California. He'll be joined by Kevin Iggy, making his 10th consecutive start at 6'3", 175 pounds, the junior guard from Ridley, Pennsylvania. And the third guard for the red and blue, the senior captain, Brian Grandieri, at 6'4", 190 pounds. He's the guard out of Media, Pennsylvania, and Malvern Prep. In the front court for the Quakers, Jack Eggleston at 6'8", 215 pounds, the freshman forward from Noblesville, Indiana, who tacked on a career-high 16 points the last time these two teams met. And the second forward for Glenn Miller is Andreas Schreiber, 6'9", 235 pounds, the sophomore from Gabby Sweet, and he's making his 10th start of this year. For Terry Dunn, in his fourth season on the sidelines for the Dartmouth Big Green, in the backcourt, Marlon Sanders at 6'1", 180 pounds, the junior guard from Cleveland, Ohio, joined by Devon Mosley at 6'1", 175 pounds, he is also a junior guard, and from Mesquite, Texas. Alex Barnett, the leading scorer and rebounder for this team, is in the front court. He's a 6'6", 205-pound junior from St. Louis, Missouri, and he's joined by Jonathan Ball up front at 6'4", 205 pounds, the senior forward from Memphis, Tennessee. And also in the starting lineup for the Dartmouth Big Green, Elgin Fitzgerald at 6'9", 245 pounds, the sophomore center from Colorado Springs, Colorado, coming off a performance last Saturday against Cornell, where he had a personal best 17. And Stan, on the road for the Penn Quakers, a quick start, a crisp start is essential.
Very important you get off to a good start. It's always harder to come back when you're playing on a foreign court. I look for Penn. They worked hard today in their shoot-around. I look for Penn to do everything that they can to get Tyler off early, get some easy shots.
For the Penn Quakers, they are in their away navy blue uniforms with Penn spelled out white across the front, white numbers front and back. Dartmouth in their home whites with Dartmouth in, of course, green across the front, green numbers on the front and the back. Andreas Schreiber standing in at 6'9", along with Alex Barnett at 6'6". Dre on the left side, Barnett on the right side. Here's the toss, and the tip that is taken by Jack Eggleston through his hands and deflects to Tyler Bernardini, who operates the offense as the red and blue move from left to right.
Jack Eggleston stole that tip.
Top of the arc, here is the aforementioned Eggleston. At the foul line, Schreiber, the turnaround, and he tacks on to as Drake gets involved right off the bat.
I mean, he turned around there and made a 15-foot jump shot like he belonged in the NBA. Isn't that amazing?
For Andreas Schreiber, going back to that game against Cornell, where he had a career-high 23 points, he was active in the early going, so hopefully this helps his confidence. 2-0 10, 20 seconds in.
A little three-quarter man-to-man pressure.
Barnett at the right high post to Fitzgerald. He has ball at the near left point. Ball top of the arc with 20 on the shot clock. Hands off to Mosley, who fires the three. He can't hit from the far right wing, and the rebound registered by Dre.
They had the whole backboard cleared out. Got a very clean rebound to get side.
Mosley leads the big green with 38 three-pointers on the year, so the Quakers want to make sure they pin in. Top of the arc, Bernardini buries it from beyond, and the Quakers have the first 5:50 seconds in. Just like that, Terry Dunn takes a timeout.
There's the start that we were asking for. It's only 5-0. It doesn't mean a whole lot, but at least it's positive.
Stan, I know you were at that game on Friday night, last Friday, a week ago against Brown, where the Penn Quakers, they did so well in the latter stretches of the first and second half. The problem was they got off to slow starts, and that cost them that game.
You can't turn the ball over without good possession. You can't turn it over without getting shots at the basket. That's what Penn did. They fell behind. Sometimes you can't catch up. Even though they made a good effort, they couldn't get into the game enough to win it.
The Red and Blue showed good signs defensively last weekend. They didn't allow Brown to score a field goal for the final 7 minutes and 51 seconds a week ago. And then against Yale, they held the Bulldogs scoreless around an 8.5-minute stretch in the second stanza to establish a big lead in that game. In the near left corner, it is Barnett for the big green. Penn leading 5-0, and there's a pass picked off by the Quakers. Grandieri glides down the floor on the far left side. Near side right for three again. Bernardini got it from the outside once more for Bernardini. He has 6 and the Quakers up 8.
He is a streaky scorer. He went from scoring 1 or 2 in the first half last week to 19 in the second. He's doing it again.
At the top of the arc, Mosley makes his way to the foul line, feeds on the near left wing to Sanders, pulls up left side, going on the near wing, and he knocks it down to the big greens. First deposit of the night. It's 8-2 with 18:29 to go in the first.
Sanders had a very good game against Penn at the Palestra.
The Quakers and Big and Green going back and forth, top of the arc, Bernardini. Blanketed by Barnett. Tyler gets away from the right high post. He hits again. Tyler Bernardini igniting for 8 early on, and he's given the Quakers a 10-2 lead.
He created his own shot that time off the dribble, which is something we need to see him do more.
Tyler Bernardini has 19 points all in the second stanza against Yale. Last Saturday night, he returned last Friday after missing the 3 previous games with post-concussion symptoms. On the far right baseline, it is Mosley maneuvers to the near left baseline. He turns around, can't get the rattle to roll home, and Brian Grandieri saves it. He flips it right to Sanders along the far right wing, and he sells it down for Dartmouth. Mosley blast past Schreiber to the rack, too strong on the lay-in attempt. The board brought down by Bernardini.
Right now, Penn's doing a wonderful job on the defensive glass.
Iggy on the far left side can't lock in for the deuce. It rattles in and out and into the hands of Elgin Fitzgerald. Here comes Mosley with a head of steam to the rack. It's blocked by Bernardini. There's a foul on the floor as there was a scrum on the far right baseline as Jack Eggleston was fighting for it along with Fitzgerald.
If Ben Miller had his brothers, Tyler would be able to play that man off the dribble a little bit better. Even though Tyler recovered and made a good block on the shot, the rebound went to Dartmouth simply because another man had to come over and help Tyler.
That's the first foul in this contest going against Tyler. At the line is Devon Mosley, leading the big green, sitting at 88% from the strike this season. And he sends in his first to make it a 10-3 contest in favor of the Quakers with 17:20 to go in the opening stanza.
There's an interesting substitution taking Barnett out quite this early.
Barnett did not play last Saturday against Cornell. A sprained, stubbed right toe. Is that one they would excuse you for, Stan, when you play back as Mosley hits the second?
You could have a very bad sprain of a toe. Trust me.
Iggy crosses the timeline on the far left wing. It's a 10-4 game. Penn on top. Schreiber at the right high post. Looking inside, nothing there. On the right block, Randieri back in and in. They wave off the shot as it rattled around the rim and out. And the foul is going to go against Ronnie Dixon for the Big Green.
Brian Randieri is excellent in the post. He had a smaller player that time and was able to draw a foul.
On the near right baseline, Kevin Iggy will inbound with a fresh 35. There is Brad off the back of the box, no good. The flick, a little bit too much behind it, and the rebound goes to Sanders. Sanders crosses his way into the key, well wide to the left on the shot, a long rebound out to Kevin Iggy. He settles it down. Far side left, pulls up a long jumper, can't jack it up, and the board is through and to the hands of Elgin Fitzgerald.
Penn better play the dribbler a little better than they are so far. They're going to get in trouble later in this game.
Top of the arc, here's Devon Mosley, a speedy pace to open things here in Hanover. 10-4 Penn with 16:33 to go in the first. Here's Ball bumping his way into the lane, off the back of the iron, the board into the breadbasket of Bernardini.
He did get bumped.
Tylen stops right side lane, throws it right through the hands of Andreas Schreiber, and out of bounds is Harrison Gaines will relieve Kevin Iggy.
And there goes two or three possessions where Penn had an opportunity to take the lead out to like 10 or 12 points. Each time they turned it over and didn't get a really good shot at the basket. Slow down, get a good shot. That's what they need to do now.
Tyler Bernardini has 8 of Penn's 10. They lead by 6, 10-4, with 16 and 12 seconds to go in this first half. Top of the arc, Jonathan Ball for the Big Green. Drifts off the far right point. Time for Keita Marlon Sanders, 15 to shoot for Dartmouth. On the far right baseline, it is Fitzgerald. Kick out top of the arc to Dixon. Near side left with 9 to shoot. It's Mosley drifts into the middle of the floor. He's still on the perimeter, 5 to shoot. Here's Sanders at the foul line, some space from 15 at Ball to make it a 4-point game.
He's pretty quick.
They have some very athletic guards here at Dartmouth. Barnett, the leading scorer, on the bench. Eggleston ignites on the far left baseline, and he manages to draw a foul. 15:38 remaining in the first half. Timeout on the floor. The score: Penn leading Dartmouth 10-6 here on Sports Radio 950. This is the Penn Sports Network.
Hi there. Welcome to Philly. My name's Ashley. What are you up for today?
I'm going to try your triple the cheese smokehouse bacon burger.
Because my kids ask me so many questions, all of my thoughts start with the word because.
Excellent.
Are you stuck in a rut? Pepper in some fun with one of Chili's new Smokehouse Bacon Burgers. They're mammoth-sized burgers with something a little extra. We're talking the thickest, tastiest cut of applewood smoked bacon you've ever seen. Only at Chili's. Pepper in some bacon. Pepper in some fun.
Fans, be sure to visit the official online store of Penn Athletics at PennAthletics.com. Get apparel for all of Penn's 33 varsity programs and Ivy League championship gear for men's basketball, men's golf, women's lacrosse, and men's and women's tennis. There's also gifts and collectibles like commemorative replicas fans of Franklin Field and the Palestra. Everything's delivered right to your home with the click of a button, so start shopping today at PennAthletics.com.
Get
a fork for that thing! The pictures of the Penn Breakers on top of the Dartmouth Big Green and snowy Hanover, New Hampshire on this Friday night with 15:38 going the first half. Penn, the Penn Quakers are going to put, it looks like, Harrison Gaines in the point guard spot after Kevin Iggy gave them some solid minutes. And the Red Bull is the season that's going on there to develop depth in the
area. Yeah, Ben Miller wants to just see what Harrison Gaines can do. He does offer you more quickness and penetrating ability, so you're going to see if that's going to make a difference right now.
Grandieri to Schreiber at the far left point. Back to Brian Grandieri in the far left corner. Lob to Eggleston. It's picked off, deflected by Dixon to Ball.
That's three turnovers in a row.
The Big Green have recorded the past 4 points in this game. It is a 4-point contest, 10-6 Penn. In the near left corner, Marlon Sanders with his team high 4 points so far for the Big Green. Ball crossing over inside. Look at Fitzgerald. He lays in an easy deuce.
And despite Penn's good start, it's a 2-point ball game. You have to stay with it. Picking your own 4-6 to nothing is just not enough.
Schreiber, some nice dribble work. Left side, off balance, gets his own miss. It's tapped out of his hands. It is two Ball who hits the hardwood as the Schreiber who gets back up, favoring what looks like his left ankle. That is going to be the second team foul against the Penn Quakers and the first for Andreas Schreiber as Justin Riley will relieve Dredd.
It looks to me like Penn's getting a little impatient on offense. They really haven't run a full set without somebody taking a shot. It's fine when Tyler Bernardini knocks down three, but if you're not making that shot, you're going to get in trouble.
They jump down on top, 8-0 and 10-2, but it's now 10-8. Ball for the tie, buries it, nothing but the bottom, or even at 10, with 14:47 to go in the first half.
And now is a very important time for Penn to come back strong and not to allow Dartmouth to get ahead of them.
Top of the arc, Eggleston, near side right on the wing to Tyler Bernardini. Right block, Randieri, top of the key, Riley, three, short off the iron. Jack Eggleston fights for the rebound, and it's knocked out of bounds off of the big green. So the red and blue will retain possession from left to right. Michael Jovacchini, who came off the bench in the second half against Penn the first time these two teams met, for 12 points. So the Quakes are going to look out for him. James inbounds to Bernardini near right baseline. Short off the rim, no good. And the board is tickled into the hands of Fitzgerald. Ball stops left side of lane. The right-handed runner won't fall into the cup, but tapping it in for the follow is Fitzgerald. He has four, and Dartmouth the last 10 to take a 12-10 lead. James out of control on the right block. Draws the foul, fortunately, on Fitzgerald.
Well, there's the penetration that you look for out of game. He's very quick. He can get to the basket. And he has to at least draw a foul or get the ball to someone else, which he did that time. If he can continue that, then all the penetrating will be good.
For the Penn Quakers, it looks like some substitutions coming in early as Brendan Votel and Michael Katz lining up. Gains at the foul line, gets the first one to fall to make it a one-point game, 12-11. Dartmouth with the lead as Grandieri and Eggleston go out. Brendan Votel and Michael Katz check in.
Sometimes I think it's on the road like this after a long bus trip, but it's good to substitute early to get other guys in and let these guys get a quick rest and get it right back in the ball game.
James ties it up at 12 apiece with his second foul shot. 14:05 to go in the first. Top of the arc, Sanders to an unsuspecting ball to left high post. Jovacchini swings it to Sanders, and he rolls it underneath to Graber on the near left baseline ball. A high arcing shot, it's an air ball and an ugly one, off the kneecap of Justin Riley out of bounds. So with 19 on the shot clock, it will stay with the big green.
Right now the big green is outworking the Quakers on their offensive board.
Sanders pitches it to the top of the arc, the always dangerous Barnett back in the game for the big green. Here's ball to Jovacchini. Top of the key to Sanders. 10 to shoot as Sanders is taking his time. Stared down by Gaines. Top of the arc to Barnett. Ball with 5 to shoot in the far right corner. Sanders with one of the shot clock. Hands off to Jovacchini at the horn. Drains it on the baseline. It counts as Dartmouth regains the lead at 14-12. Cats underneath. Nice look to Votel. Waits. He's blocked from behind by Graber. Barnett picks it up for the big green. On the far right wing, Sanders steps to the baseline and retreats into the corner. Look inside. Here's Graber twirling to his left, and he takes the walk. Good defense by Justin Riley.
He's trying to force his way in. He took an extra step. This game has a lot more up and down to it than the game in the Palestra. Everybody's running. Penn has to not turn the ball over in these kinds of ball games. Good shots, I'm sorry.
Sam Dartmouth is going big now as they bring in Clive Whedon at 6'9". He's on the floor with Kirk Graber, who's also 6'9", and Alex Barnett at 6'6".
He had a good game against Cornell, that Clive fellow.
He did. He had a season-high 28 minutes against Cornell, making two starts in relief for John Marciano. Left high post, Riley maneuvers to the baseline, kick out to Gaines along the far left sideline. To the foul line, he pulls up from 15. It goes awry. Offensive rebound, Brennan Votel. So the shot clock resets for the Quakers, down by a deuce, 14-12. Bernardini, foul line. He can't get the bounce off the rim, and the board is to Graber.
Quakers have gone cold.
They had 10 of the first 12 points of this game. They're now down by 2. The runner by Jovacchini rattles out. They wave off the side as the rebound was picked up by Graber. There was a foul committed by Justin Riley before the field goal went through.
Graber's a tough guy in there. He's going to bang and bang and bang, and you better be prepared to bang with him.
That'll go against Justin. A timeout is taken by Glenn Miller and the Penn Quakers, and as you said, Sam, the Quakers got into a nice flow early on, but Dartmouth responded. They chipped away and took advantage of some early Quaker turnovers.
Some turnovers, and, when Penn came down, they banged the first two threes, the perfect shot. You can't rely on that the whole game, so you have to do the little things. You've got to make good passes. Right now, their offensive flow is not good, and as you said, you can't turn the ball over and give it back to Dartmouth without at least getting a good shot at the basket.
If you flip back the clock to the beginning of February, Dartmouth under the heart of the Ivy League schedule at 500. They hadn't entered the conference slate with an even record since the 98-99 season, but since they fell at Princeton on February 1st by a score of 57-53, they've lost six in a row trying to snap that slide. Inbounding it, it is Ware. A high pass hauled in at the near left point by Barnett. Top of the arc to Ware on the far right sideline. Giovacchini in the lane. There is Graber well wide of the left, and the rebound goes through his legs and to Bernardini.
Graber's going to give you a full effort, is he not?
He is. He is a big dude for the big green. At the far left point, Bernardini. Left side lane catch. Turns to his right. Down to his left. Scoops it up, and it rattles in for the Quaker senior guard.
Well, it looks like the emphasis in the timeout was let's get the ball inside. And Mike Lacatz did a good job of scoring in the post.
He tied it up at 14 apiece with 11:58 to go in the first. Weeden top of the arc. Looking for the open man, and he opts for Ware at the near left point. Loose ball inside. Brandon Botel broke it up. It was intended for Graber. Here come the red and blue. Gaines, the hole. Left side hands off Eggleston. He lost the ball. And out of bounds.
He wasn't ready for that pass. Gaines made a really nice top pass. Eggleston wasn't ready to catch it. Should have had the ball and made a layup.
Gaines does have great vision of the floor. He only lost 10 minutes against Yale last Saturday, but had 5 assists. Just one turnover. 11:44 remaining in the first half. Timeout on the floor of the score. Penn and Dartmouth all even at 14. You're listening to Quaker Basketball on Sports Radio 950. This is the Penn Sports Network.
Penn basketball fans, PECO isn't just committed to providing you with reliable, affordable energy. It's committed to the community. PECO supports a wide variety of arts, educational, environmental, and neighborhood programs for Quaker Hoops fans of all ages. And PECO employees volunteer thousands of hours as board members, mentors, coaches, and tutors. It's all part of PECO's commitment to customers and the community. For more information on PECO's community involvement, visit their website at www.pico.com.
So tell me, what do you love about Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love the taco salad.
It's fast, fresh.
Burritos, quesadillas, tacos.
Five sauces.
Oh, yeah. I got to the point that if I had to eat something one more time that wasn't good for me just because I was in a hurry, I was going to go crazy. And I found Qdoba, and I'm hooked.
Yeah, you can have it for a month straight to get something different every day. Everybody can make what they want, and that's a good burrito. That's what I love.
That's what I love about Qdoba. Qdoba Mexican Grill. Hundreds of original flavors you won't find anywhere else. All made fast, fresh, and right in front of you. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
Dartmouth from right to left, tied up at 14. Here is Devon Mosley with the ball, top of the arc to Brandon Ware. The big green battled back from an early deficit of 8 twice. A nice look to Barnett from Giovacchini, far right baseline. The right-handed runner, no good. And Brendan Botel active early on, collecting the count.
He's had 3 rebounds since he's been in the game. This is the most time I've seen him get.
Catch at the top of the arc. Nice look. Interior pass to Eggleston. Left side of the lane. Turns to his left. The hook side is short. And clawing the rebound is Barnett to the big green.
He's got to get a little better, work himself into better position before he takes that hook.
Ware picked up on a double team top of the arc. Now hands off Mosley. Thought about 3 as Ware in the near left corner. Falling down on the floor. Whedon and Gaines collide. The big green stay with the top of the arc to his 3. There's Mosley. And he makes it. Giving 39 three-pointers on the year. It's now the largest lead for the big green.
Well, he couldn't get to the line, so he shot it from 5 feet beyond.
17-14 is the score with 10:40 to go in the first half. In the near right corner, Michael Katz. Katz nearly lost the handle on the ball. Hounding him is Mosley at the top of the arc. Bernardini, far left point, top of the key, Botel. Look inside. It's picked off, deflects through the hands of Brennan. He's got it again. Staying with it, still sprawling on the floor. Barnett wins that fight. It's a 2-on-3 for the big green. Giovacchini at the foul line. Ware back to Giovacchini, and that's robbed by Gaines. Gaines back the other way, draws the foul as he sped down the floor.
Now there's where you see quickness and anticipation. He anticipated that pass, picked it off, and had it not been for the foul, he would have scored a layup.
Joe McKinney, that is his first personal foul, and the fourth for the big green.
As
Bernardini and Katz go out, pardon me, Stan.
That was actually really a smart foul by Dartmouth.
It could have led to an energy play for Penn, trailing by 3. We're down to Dartmouth 17-14, 10 and a quarter to go in the first game. Looking to inbound, no one there. Iggy in the near right corner. Makes his way to the foul line. He threw it off the shoe of Giovacchini, and luckily it bounced right back to him. Grand Jury, top of the arc, Schreiber, who returns to the contest, hands off Iggy. Spots up a 3 in the tie. Yes, it is good for Kevin Iggy. 17 apiece, 9:58 to go in the opening half.
We need shooting out of the point guard. That was great. I like to see Gaines and Iggy play together, actually.
They move well on the floor. Kev, in the recent weeks, has found his rhythm. On the near left baseline, Wheaton feeds along the near left sideline to Devon Mosley. Back to Wheaton. Over the top of Schreiber, way too strong on the board, in the hands of Votel, nearly knocked away by Ware. But Grandieri is right there to recover. Iggy's far side left, wide baseline underneath. He's fouled hard as he hands it off to Andreas Schreiber. Dre drew it. As Andreas done, he's been on the floor for about 3 minutes, and he has been knocked around.
He earned these two fouls out. who was it in there? It was the big guy from Dartmouth.
Yeah,
Clive Wheaton went right through his nose.
Andreas Schreiber on the season, 21-46 from the foul line for a percentage of 45.7. We'll see what Dre can do here. Trying to break a 17-17 tie, and Dre can't get a shot on his first.
Good, nice rotation on his shot. Unfortunately, he doesn't make enough of them.
Schreiber, he has started the last five contests for the Quakers. 8 points and two boards against Yale. He has one more try to untie this and make it an 18-17 game in favor of Penn. It's on the way for the right-handed sophomore. It clanks off the iron, no good. Ball lost, the rebound. Iggy sprawls on the far left end line, but his hustle didn't pay off as he unfortunately hit it out of bounds.
No, that kind of hustle does pay off eventually. Maybe not that play, but it's a message to the other players on the court.
Andreas Schreiber for the Quakers couldn't get two on that trip to the line. Couldn't manage one either, so it remains knotted at 17 apiece with 9:25 left in this first half.
Penn showing man-to-man pressure again.
Joe McKinney to Barnett in the far right corner. Head fakes to the baseline, playing on that injured ankle, turns around and knocks it down. No sign of any lingering injury there as he is on the board for the first time tonight.
And Connor Charlie's in the ballgame. Ben Miller showing that he is always willing to substitute.
Again, the Quakers do not have Cam Lewis on this trip. Connor Turley and Early in a reserve role. Schreiber, a nice look. The ball popped. He goes up strong right side, and he manages to draw the foul. And that's going to go against Elgin Fitzgerald.
Elgin is not going to give him anything easy.
That's the 16th foul for the Big Green, though. Penn only has three against them with 8:52 to go in the first half. Schreiber back to the line trying to atone after coming up empty the previous trip. And he can't hit that one either.
And instead of having a lead, they're behind too.
Schreiber seeking to bring his red and blue club within one. On his fourth free throw of the game, he finally nets it. He has 3 points on the night and 10 down by a point. 19-18, 8:50 to go in the first. At the far right point, Marlon Sanders at the top of the arc, Joe McKinney. Joe McKinney has great range from beyond on the year with 25 three-pointers. Three of them came against the Quakes back on the 2nd of February. Joe McKinney at the near left point, 12 to shoot for the Big Green. Here is Barnett backing in on the left block over Turley. Can't tack on to the rebound to Grandieri, who protects the ball very well with Barnett coming in from behind. A nice bullet pass from Gaines to Turley, but Turley tops off his fingertips. Joe McKinney, 94 feet, there's the foul. It's an offensive one. The crime committed by Joe McKinney, no doubt about that.
Give Schreiber a lot of credit for spinning down the floor, getting positioned to draw that charge. At the other end, Gaines is not experienced enough. He should not make a pass that long from half court to into the post. Some of them always feel that far.
Harrison Gaines on the season. He has 75 assists to 39 turnovers. That is just a shade under a 2-to-1 ratio. So Gaines bring the ball up the floor. The red and blue moving from left to right, trailing by one, 19-18, 8 to go in the first. Top of the arc, Iggy for three in the lead. Off the back of the iron, Gaines, the long offensive rebound. He twists inside for two. No good. Another rebound pops out to Gaines. In the paint, he is stuck. Collects again through the hands of Robbie Pride, out of bounds on the far left baseline.
And Harrison Gaines playing like a 6'10 rebounder. And he didn't give up. He kept going at the hoop,
playing like he's adding 11 inches to that 6'1 frame.
And he learned, though, he was not successful.
And because of his hard-nosed play, Penn will have it out of the break. 7:50 to go in the first half. Timeout on the floor. The score is Penn trailing Dartmouth 19-18. You're listening to Quaker Basketball on Sports Radio 950. This is the Penn Sports Network.
And now, let's get back to two Troubleheads Talk Football, presented by Diet Pepsi Max. Next on the agenda, wear a team jersey or paint the chest. Phil, your thoughts.
Have to go team jersey. It's so obvious.
Wrong again, smart guy. Paint the chest. It takes passion and artistry to paint the chest.
You're wrong.
No, you
no,
are.
You
no,
are.
You are. Anyways, next up, the wave. Like it or hate it.
I like the wave.
Me too.
If it were still 1989,
come
the
on.
Wave is about as cool as acid wash peg jeans.
The wave is a timeless classic.
You're wrong.
No, you are.
No, you are.
No, you are. Okay, next up, fans are not off of the game.
Inexcusable. I say no to nodding off. Wake up, people.
I agree. Inexcusable.
Wait, we agree?
Why is it inexcusable? Because they can just have a Diet Pepsi Max with ginseng and more caffeine. We've got nothing to argue about here.
Well, how do you spell ginseng?
That's obvious. G-I-N-S-I-N-G.
Nice, but you spelled it wrong, Captain Gray Matter. It's E-N-G.
Sound it out. It's ginseng. Ing. You're wrong.
No, you are.
No, you are.
No, you are.
Zero calorie Diet Pepsi Max with ginseng and more caffeine.
Going to go in the first half, 19-18. Dartmouth with the edge, but Tanner with the ball on the far left baseline. Iggy will inbound. He has Bernardini baseline for the lead. Overshoots an air ball. Brian Grandieri follows, no good. Trey has got it, and he finally gets the deposit as Penn takes the 2019 edge.
What a powerful rebound and follow-up. He took two Dartmouth players right to the rim.
Andreas Schreiber and the Quakers on that possession. A lot of guts and grit to make sure they came up with something despite multiple misses. Marlon Sanders operating traffic in the far right corner to Clyde Whedon, top of the arc to Robbie Pry. That's an All-American sounding name. On the far right baseline, Shriver picks up Whedon, top of the arc Barnett with six to shoot. He wants it a whole left side, stuck by Shriver, and it goes right to Grandieri.
He saves Connor Curley on that block.
Grandieri, top of the key, Curley, far side, left to Bernardini, nearly lost the ball. Back to Brian, picked up on a double team, has Iggy at the near right, point contact away from the play, and Connor Curley is going to be assessed with the offensive foul.
That's an offensive foul you can't afford. When you're posting up, you can almost do everything to kind of reach behind you, and that's what he did.
On the floor for the Quakers, the front court is Andreas Schreiber and Connor Turley. Grandieri, Bernardini, and Iggy make up the back court.
Seen a lot of different lineups today, haven't we?
Glenn Miller opting for a different look at these rotations that we're seeing. Marlon Sanders offering the point for Dartmouth. At the top of the key, underhand to Mosley. Mosley lost the ball as he nearly did a split on the floor. He retreats way out beneath the big D logo at the center of the floor. It's a brand new floor here at Dartmouth this year. A lot of spring to it. Seven on the shot clock for the big green. Great defense by Penn. At the foul line, ball in the lane. The hook shot, no. Ball collects on rebound. No foul called as his shot went under the rim and right in the hands of Grandieri.
Referees are letting them play.
Grandieri at the near right point. Top of the arc, Shriver. Shriver to Bernardini at the far left point. 10 in the lead, 2019. Grandieri looking for his first point, and he's got it. Playing the angles to his advantage as the red and blue have responded. They lead by 3, 22-19, 6 to go in the first.
Grandieri has a big advantage in the post. Get it to him in that position, and we will do well. Penn will do well.
Barnett blasts into the lane. They wave off the shot. And that one is going to go against Brian Grandieri for the Quakers. Their fifth team foul. Dartmouth has seven.
Devon Mosley can't play Brian Grandieri in the post. Brian's very clever. He gets great position. Uses his body well. That's something to look for Penn to set up a lot now.
Connor Turley and Andreas Shriver check out. Inbounding along the far right baseline. It's Mosley to Barnett on the right block. Blocked by Votel, and it's Bernardini who picks it free. It's free on the floor. It's off Brandon Votel, but how about Tyler Bernardini looking Barnett right in the face and picking his pockets?
Yeah, that's good help defense by Tyler that time. And Brandon Votel's giving him really nice minutes tonight.
Very solid minutes logged by the Quaker junior forward off the inbounds ball. Swings it top of the arc to Barnett as the big green reset, moving from right to left, 10 with the 22-19 lead. Barnett eyed down by Bernardini, a long jumper. It pops in, it pops out, and pops into the hands of Jack Eggleston. Iggy rumbles back the other way and cycles out for the Quakers. Going on a little run. They have the last four. A lob pass to Votel on the right block. Kick out Bernardini. Nice crossover move left side. Stops, but he couldn't settle his feet in time. Another turnover by the Quakers. That is going to be their seventh in this game.
He kind of started his move before he really knew what the defense was going to do, then was ready to leave his feet, and he grew in basketball. Don't leave your feet until you know what you're going to do with the ball.
at the top of the arc, Sanders. The offense for his squad has stalled the last few minutes. Mosley for three in the tie, and he cans it. From the near left corner, Mosley hits his second three-pointer of the game, even at 22 with 4:58 to go. Iggy in the lane with the left hand, gets the finger roll to fall. A quick response by the Quakes, 24-22 pass.
Iggy goes wire to wire, dribbling the basketball. Gardner should never let that happen.
Iggy has a very first quick step stamp.
Yes.
At the foul line, Ball underhands to Barnett in the near left corner. Pitches it on the left low post to Ball over Iggy. It rattles out in the hands of Grandier, who does a great job securing it.
Penn's been doing a really good job up on the backboard, and I went up because it was a pass that should have been thrown and another turnover without a shot.
And Eggleston ahead of the pack coming down into the front court, but Iggy lost it a little bit too high and over the outstretched hands of Jack Eggleston. So Dartmouth gets it back.
Penn doesn't have the athletic ability to throw that kind of a pass and have somebody go up and get it.
They've failed to convert that type of opportunity twice here tonight. Barnett at the near left point. Barnett calling out the signals. He's now offering the offense for this large lineup as Grandier springs it free. He gets it left side of the paint, goes up left hand, it won't fall, and Robbie Pry picks up the loose ball. And very disruptive defensively for the Big Green so far.
Now, rather than shoot that ball over Barnett, maybe a stop and a head fake, I think he would have scored.
Graber, one dribble on the floor, too strong, and Grandier at both ends getting it done for the rebound. James, top of the arc, steps back to the near right point. Top of the key, Votel, hands off to Grandier. Three for three, count it! For the Quakers senior on the far left wing, as Terry Dunn takes the timeout, the Quakers have extended it to 5, 27-22, with 3:34 left in the first half.
And I'm impressed. You know, when Dartmouth brought the game back to even, Penn at that time put a fall, folded a little bit, but they're hanging in there, they're playing very hard. I think Glenn Miller and his substitution on a road trip after a 7-hour bus ride, I think he's doing it very smart.
Stan, the last games that we did together was the one that we'll pretend never happened against St. Joseph before, so that wasn't very good. The Temple contest was entertaining. From what you've seen over the past few weeks that you've been at the Celestial watching in this game so far, does it seem like Penn has taken a lot out of that second half from Temple? Do they look like a more confident group to you?
I think they're a little bit more confident, but I almost think that what they're involved in now is a different season.
Yeah.
They have to learn to win these Ivy League games on the road. They haven't won one yet.
Today would be a good start. Their only road victory came on December the 8th. A very tough nose tilt against Monmouth. Mosley switches a three at the top of the arc. That makes it 27-25. So Penn has had a problem locking down on him on the outside. And that's a problem because he's their best perimeter shooter.
He's made great shots. He's quicker than the people matching up with him.
Iggy reciprocates at the top of the arc. Another triple for the Penn Quaker Jr. He has 6 and Penn back up by 5, 30-25.
Well, you know, go at Mosley. That may help.
Ball left block, and he's blocked by Votel, and it's a blocking foul on Jack Eggleston.
We always had a theory that if you got a guy that's killing you, go right at him, make him play defense, make him work, you know what I mean, and you may be able to take some of that offense out of his game.
First personal for the red and blue rookie, Jack Eggleston, and the sixth for the Quakers. 2:54 left in a very entertaining first half. There's a timeout on the floor. The score, Penn leading Dartmouth 30-25. Quaker basketball on Sports Radio 950. This is the Penn Sports Network.
Come basketball fans. Nobody does Philly sports better than Comcast SportsNet. Tune in to Sports Night every night at 6:30 and 10. And catch the latest highlights, news, scores, and updates on all your favorite teams. Even after the games go off, the game goes on. Comcast SportsNet. Nobody does Philly sports better.
Penn fans, if it's enhanced coverage of the Quakers you crave, then sign up for the Red and Blue resource that provides us, the Penn Sports Network. Exclusive access to live and on-demand video and audio webcasts of football, men's and women's basketball, wrestling, volleyball, and more, all available on PennAthletics.com. There's also the Penn Men's Basketball Weekly Podcast, taking you inside the program with insight from head coach Glenn Miller every episode. Select the package that suits your Penn passion best. Register online at PennAthletics.com. Four to go in the first half. 10 on top of Dartmouth, 32-25 is the score. The Quakers committed their 16th foul against the Big Green, and it was assessed to Jack Eggleston before the timeout. Neither of these two teams shoot particularly well from the foul line. Dartmouth at 66%, dead last in the Ancient Eight, and they have graciously taken that dubious distinction from the Penn Quakers, who have now ascended to 7th in the league. At the line, it is Ball, his first attempt, in and out, no good.
You called that one, and that won't get him any further than last place.
Ball on the year is shooting at 56.5% from the foul line. His second one is on the way, as that one is a beautiful brick, as Bull is stuck on 2 points for himself, and Dartmouth at 25. Gaines in the near left corner to Iggy, who backs it out. Back to Gaines, near right corner. 30-25, Penn with 2:40 to go in the first. Gaines makes his move. Near right baseline, he's stuck from behind by Bull, hits the hardwood. Harrison Gaines will head back to the line. He has a pair of free throws already.
There's a good example of Harrison Gaines' quickness. A little shuffle dribble. He went right by, got fouled. Again, convert the foul shot. Down the other end, when Dartmouth misses two, it's tantamount to a turnover.
Gaines looking for his first pass, and is off the back of the iron. Instead, as I look down the stat crew sheet that we have here, the digital display, I look at number 22 for Penn, and I see Adam Tackle. Then I look at number 24, and I see Mark Zoller. I look at number 3, and I see Steve Danley.
Well, maybe we could, if you could put him in the back right now, we'd be working.
Gaines trying to salvage this trip to the stripe, and he does. Nothing but nylon on his second attempt. He has 3 points all from the charity stripe, Penn leading by 6, 31-25. Top of the arc, it's Barnett for the Big Green. Pinned there by Votel, logging some very effective minutes for the Quakes here in the opening half. Here's Ronnie Dixon, the Barnett on the left block, turning to his right. Votel stays with him, disrupts the misfired shot, and there's a rebound to Gaines. 3-on-2 Penn. Gaines, 94 feet, it falls as he hits the floor. Great rotation as Gaines is slow getting up, and he hobbles back. That makes it 33-25, Penn, matching their largest lead of the night.
That was a heck of a layup. In traffic.
Gaines is extremely aggressive. And there's a feed to Graber, and it's past Wolf to the near sideline. Tightroping it is Mosley for three around the rim and out. Offensive boy through the hands of Barnett to Graber, swatted out on the block. He hits it off the side of the backboard, out of bounds off the Big Green.
Graber showed me some moves inside that I don't quite understand. I mean, and let's give Votel some props.
Yeah.
He's annoying the heck out of Barnett.
Brendan Votel, the last game that he played was at Columbia on Friday, February 8th. Gaines once more. He gets the bump. No bucket as that one hung on the side of the rim, and then it just didn't have enough behind it. It fell out.
Well, that's why you can't switch. Graber ended up playing Gaines, and that's a matchup that he can't handle. You're always going to get a foul out of that. And Harrison Gaines is basically responsible for Penn pulling this out a little bit.
Gaines is at the line looking to provide Penn with their largest lead of the night, and Gaines has that one roll around the rim, no good.
But you know that you need your point guard to be a good percentage foul shooter.
Yeah.
He's at the end of ball games, and he has to learn to do that.
33-25, 10 by 8, 90 seconds to go in the first half. Gaines, his second one, is on the way, and that one falls for the freshman.
He's bouncing around now, so maybe he's worked off that injury.
He was plagued with hamstring problems at the end of December, beginning of January, and here comes Sanders, too strong on the runner, and a strong rebound to Shriver.
And it was Votel's challenge that made him miss that layup.
Big Brennan to the cut for a couple. Brennan Votel on the quick conversion, 36-25, 10 by 11. 65 seconds to go in the first half as Penn has turned it on offensively and clamped down on D. At the right high post, here's Graber. A look to Mosley. Barnett, left block, goes up strong, and he lays it in for two. He was seeking the jam. Penn wouldn't let him get it.
He would not let him get it. That's correct.
Gaines stops top of the arc. In the near right corner, Kevin Inkey. Top of the key, Shriver swings it far left to Bernardini. Top of the arc, Inkey thought three for a second. He has a pair of them from the perimeter so far tonight. Gaines to the foul line. In traffic, sees it far side. Inkey for a three. Good for the Quakes. 39-27, 30 seconds to go in the first.
And Kevin Inkey's three-pointers have matched the three-pointers that Dartmouth's gotten.
Kevin Inkey also matching his total against the Big Green from the previous game with 9. And There is now 16 to go in the first as it is Sanders just patiently waiting underneath the timeline. The far right point, Barnett. 8 seconds to go in the first half. He's way out on the wing. He takes a screen, top the arc with five. Maneuvers left side, off bounds, gets the foul on the finish.
You shouldn't let a guy make that kind of penetration without help, particularly when it's the last play of the half, and you know it. He's not going to give the ball up.
That stops the clock with 2 7/10 of a second to go in the opening stanza. 39-29 as Barnett trying to bring the big green within single digits heading into the locker room.
Let's hope his three-point play, he doesn't get a three-point play, first of all, so let's hope it doesn't make a difference somewhere down the line in the game.
Barnett shooting at 78% from the stripe. The junior sends it on the way. It is good. 2 7/10 of a second left. A quick feed to Bernardini, who's fronted by Barnett, hangs onto it as the horn sounds. As the Quakers go in the locker room, they should be feeling pretty good about themselves with a 39-30 advantage after they fell behind midway through this first half after jumping out to early 8-point leads twice.
I think they ought to be very happy with a 9-point lead. If it were not for Eggy and Gaines and their really fine play in the last 8 minutes of the first half, I think they would be an even game right now. So I think I'd love to go in with a 9-point lead.
The Penn Quakers out on the start of a 4-game road trip within conference competition. And right now they have a 39-30 edge over Dartmouth and Hanover through the first 20 minutes of play. The United Healthcare Halftime Report gets underway after this. My conversation with Justin Riley, a look around the 8-8 on the Avengers out-of-town scoreboard, and Stan Pavlik, the Big Five Hall of Famer, breaks down that first half box score. So stay right here. You're listening to Penn Basketball on Sports Radio 950. This is the Penn Sports Network.
Penn fans, men's basketball continues its Northern Trek tomorrow. They hit Harvard, tip time set for 7 p.m. The pregame show starts at 6:45 on 88.5 WXPN FM. Next weekend, the Red and Blues road run rolls on. They stop at Yale Friday and Brown Saturday. The Quakers' final homestands coming up March 7th against Cornell and March 8th versus Columbia. To order tickets, call the Penn Athletic Ticket Office at 215-898-6151. That's 215-898-6151. Or log on to PennAthletics.com.
It's the Quaker Halftime Report presented by United Healthcare. With audio highlights from the first 20 minutes, feature interviews, and a full stat recap, once again with Vince Curran, here's Brian Seltzer.
Wintry weather along the northeast coast. We have heard that Philadelphia is getting its fair share. We can speak from first-hand experience that there is some snow up here in Hanover, New Hampshire, where the Penn Quakers have a 39-30 lead over the Dartmouth Big Green. Going in to the break, alongside Stan Pavlik, filling in for Vince Curran, who is, and I guess this is a city because he's there, Searcy, Arkansas.
Hanover, New Hampshire, I don't know, that may be a side ball.
You know, they're probably, the people of Searcy, Arkansas, probably down there saying, if they heard of Hanover, New Hampshire, saying, what the heck is that?
I wonder if the people of Searcy, Arkansas, have ever seen 12 inches of snow.
Yeah. Well, Vince Curran, for those of you Vin Man groupies out there, he's going to be on CSTV tomorrow for a Division II game. And that's why he's in Searcy, Arkansas. But Stan Pavlik, as we take a look around the Abner's out-of-town scoreboard, brought to you in part by Abner's Cheesesteaks of University City, located on the corner of 38th and Chestnut, in the heart of University City. There is one game of supreme interest that I will make sure to leave until last and keep everyone on the edge of their seat. Halftime at Harvard, and right now the Princeton Tigers, 29-26 over the Crimson. Princeton comes in 5-17 overall, 5 straight losses in the Ivy League at 2-5. Harvard 6-18, 1-7 in the conference. Harvard was real close last Friday against Cornell. They could really use a win.
Yeah, Harvard is fighting for their lives, and the Lions, Michael Tommy Amaker. The league is interesting. It looks like Cornell has separated themselves from everybody, and in this league, once you get behind, you have to rely on other teams to do a job for you to get you back in it, as well as take care of your own business.
The Brown Bears last weekend completed their first sweep in program history on the road against Penn and Princeton, and right now they're down to Columbia in Manhattan. 33-29 is the score. This is a battle for second place. Brown at 6-2, Columbia at 5-3, as Joe Jones' group is trying to move up the Ivy rungs.
I was impressed with Brown when I saw them. I think they're a good, strong team. But I heard Coach Glenn Miller today in the pregame meal predict that Columbia would beat them. So it's interesting what the score is now.
And the other score, Cornell and Yale in Ithaca, New York. Yale at 4-4, Cornell at 8-0, first place in the Ivy League. And with a minute 10 to go in the first half, Cornell 35, Yale 37. So the Bulldogs making it interesting.
Well, from what everybody told me, and your opinion, Yale had a lot of talent. In preseason, they were considered to be a threat to Cornell. They certainly haven't lived up to those expectations. So on any given day, if they get motivated, they certainly could give Cornell a tough game, if not beat them.
So once again at the half, Princeton on top of Harvard by 3, Columbia leading Brown by 4, and winding down in Ithaca, Cornell trailing Yale 37-35. Right here at the Leeds Family Arena in Hanover, New Hampshire, the Penn Quakers up comfortably 39-30 over the Dartmouth Kid Green. On the other side, I sit down with Red and Blue sophomore forward Justin Riley, and I did an interview with him earlier this season. I pre-recorded it, and then Evie Jabber showed up at the Palestra and had to speak with him, see what he was up to. So now Justin Riley coming off a career night last Saturday. You get to hear from him. He has a great, interesting story about a sophomore class that was recruited by Coach Duffy, and now they're being coached by Glenn Miller, and you'll hear Justin talk about that a little bit, and the lift he has gotten by guidance from Glenn. So it's a nice story, and his decision to stick with Penn. That's all coming up on the other side here on the United Healthcare Halftime Report, Quaker Basketball and Sports Radio 950. This is the Penn Sports Network.
We're all concerned about the cost of healthcare. And there's a company that's made a serious commitment to doing something about it. That's United Healthcare. And they provide plans designed to offer more for your money. United Healthcare makes it easy to get the care you need, when and where you need it. The plans provide access to more than 520,000 healthcare professionals nationally, including more than 21,000 in Pennsylvania alone. The consumer-driven health plans, CDHPN, cost less money up front, but they don't give you less. These plans come with online tools and wellness programs that can help you get and stay healthy and save on your coverage. And as a United Healthcare member, you receive discounts not offered by traditional insurance, like a LASIK eye surgery, health club memberships, and more. United Healthcare, pulling healthcare together. Find out more at unitedhealthcare.com. United Healthcare Services Incorporated. Insurance coverage provided by or through United Healthcare Insurance Company or its affiliates.
Halftime in Hanover, 39-30, the score, Penn leading Dartmouth, as the Red and Blue starting to roll through the second half of the Ivy League standings. Alongside Stan Pavlik, Brian Felton, and earlier this afternoon I sat down with Justin Riley, who has been working his way into the rotation throughout the year. He came off, he had a great finish to his freshman year, a very solid performance against Texas A&M in the NCAA tournament with 10 points and 7 boards, and he found his rhythm on Saturday night with 15 points and 6 rebounds against the Yale Bulldogs in a game that Penn had to have. And earlier this afternoon, I sat down with Justin Riley, Penn's sophomore forward, hailing out of Dallas, Texas.
A pretty big game for you against the old Bulldogs, a career-high 15 points, one side your personal best for rebounds of 6. It's been a lot of fun to get out there and make those type of contributions in a pretty significant game.
Yeah, it was good. I actually had, I didn't play much in the first half, and I was hoping to get out in the second half because I had, around 15 relatives in town for the game, so, and a couple of them, majority of them haven't ever seen me play before, so it was a good game for me to get out and try to help the team win, so.
For you personally, did you feel like you needed a song like that?
Yeah, I feel like I've been due one, and I just haven't really been able to get in my groove and come out and Coach stuck with me, even when I was messing up defensively or whatever, but he stuck with me, and I was able to work through that and have a decent offensive game. So.
How much does that help your confidence?
It does. It helps a lot. I think this is really how I should be playing basketball, though, and I haven't been playing up to this point, so hopefully I can carry that into the next couple games.
Your performance in the second half, taken in context of the entire squad, it was a real big breakthrough for that huge run against Yale, who came in with a lot of veteran talent. What does it mean for this club to be sitting above 500 to start the second half of the Ivy League slate at 4-3?
I think that's a big thing for us coming into these games because we really need that confidence going in. It's hard playing on the road in the Ivy League, and I think if we came in, 3 and 4 or something like that, it'd be kind of like we feel like we're a lot more out of the race than we are, and we feel like if we can go ahead and run the table here, then we've done our part, and, you know, Nate Cornell and Brown are probably hopefully going to lose some games on the road, maybe even this weekend. So as long as we can do our part, and now we're coming up with some confidence, I think we'll be all right.
Speaking with the Red and Blue sophomore forward, Justin Riley, your 6 rebounds are very strong coming that game against Yale. What attitude, approach, what does it require to be effective on the boards?
I think the biggest thing is just knowing that every time the ball goes up, that's your ball. You have to go and get it. And one of the things, actually, my dad was a pretty good high school player, and he's always been getting on me that, like, I hang around and box out too long instead of going and actually getting the basketball. And one thing that actually Coach Dunphy said that he liked about me when he recruited me was that I go and get the ball. So I think that's one thing I've gotten away from in my game that I probably did a little bit more in the Yale game, is going, not staying with that box out so long and going and getting the basketball.
How much time have you put in throughout the season working on stuff like that, other aspects of getting up on the glass?
A lot of time. We work a lot of heavy ball drills, and then Coach Sparks has been doing this NBA rebounding drill that he got off the web or something like that that we've been doing. This helped a lot with reading the flight of the ball, and that's one of the biggest things, is being able to read where it's coming off the rim, because you can have a good box out, but if it doesn't fall your way, you're not going to get the ball. So
Penn played some pretty talented teams during the non-conference portion of the season. You have big ACC front courts from UVA, Tyler Hansbrough, obviously, from UNC. Miami has some huge guys down the block. Ahmad Nimitz, Rod Ferguson, that they played for St. Joseph's. How much do you gain from the experience of taking on guys like that in the front court?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I love playing against those guys, because in high school, I played against, you know, big-time players all the time, like Marcus Aldridge, Darrell Arthur, all those guys, Brian Davis, you know, DeAndre Jordan, all those guys. So when I come in and play against, like, I'd rather play against Hansbrough than somebody in the Ivy League, actually, you know. And actually, it's funny, I have a lot of defensive lapses. A lot of people talk about my defensive lapses, but I seem to play better against bigger big-time guys like Joseph Jones and some of the other guys. For whatever reason that is, I feel like I play better defense against those guys than I do against, you know, some of the guys at Harvard or Dartmouth or whatever.
Now, what's the key to leveling all that out?
I don't know. That's what we need to figure out, is stop playing to the level of my competition is what I need to do, is start playing like I'm playing Tyler Hansbrough every night.
Talking about Justin Riley in his second year with this Penn program, you discussed the experience that you got in high school. Is it strange to look back on that and see where some of these guys whose paths you crossed with and where they are now?
Yeah, it really is. It's crazy, because I played on the USA team with Kevin Durant, and which is crazy to me, because, like, I mean, I have his number on my phone, and, you know, every once in a while, I get a text or a text back and forth. And some of the other guys, you know, it's just crazy that all over the place, my AAU team, I was the lowest level D1 out of the starting five, so it's really interesting, like, watching on TV and, you know, calling and giving each other, you know, trouble on the phone about, like, all they got dunked on or how they're playing or whatever, but especially in the A&M game with knowing all those guys, and it's pretty cool to see all those guys doing well. So
another intriguing storyline for you and really all the sophomores is that you were recruited, as you said, by Fran Dunphy, yet you never had the opportunity to play under him. What was your reaction just with the notion that you'd be having a new coach, aside from someone who was recruiting you and coming out to watch you while you were in high school?
Right. Well, it was an interesting feeling. At first, I was kind of like, oh, what do I do now? Because I've never been gone through the college basketball thing before, you know. right. So then the whole new coach thing, you know, no one ever prepares you for that, let alone for the whole college basketball recruiting process. But I think my first reaction was just I wanted to know why and whatever, and Coach Dunphy called me, and we talked for over an hour about everything, and he really didn't have to do that, and I really appreciate that, because it made me feel a lot more comfortable. And I think knowing the guys and coming in, it didn't really matter who was coming in to coach at that point for me, because Penn's a great school, and I was going to Wharton, and at that point, you know, I had a bunch of people call and ask all the schools that recruited me, oh, okay, listen, you want to come here now because of what happened? And, you know, I thought about it, but then, you know, I had Darren Smith, who I talked to a lot, and we both were kind of in the same boat, obviously, and we kind of talked through it as well, and I think, you know, I obviously made the right choice, and, you know, Coach Miller's been awesome, and so that's really, it all worked out for the better. It could have been a bad situation, but it all worked out great for me.
Darren, you brought up, he's one of your classmates. Tough to see him on the sidelines. To this season, but you're getting into a rhythm. Dre's starting to find his way a little bit too. What type of bond do you guys all share together as the Quaker sophomore class?
I think we do a lot, and you know, we had to pick up Dan when he had the knee injury, and that's been tough for him because I have been advocating saying that he was going to have a breakout season this year. A lot of people thought he could do last year, but he was kind of in the shadow of Evie and Mark and some of those guys, and I think everybody's going to be really surprised at how good we're going to be when Darren Smith comes back. And I think so we do have a great bond. We all three of us live together with some of the other guys, and it's interesting. We probably come together more probably because of Darren's injury, you know, having to help him around or whatever. But it's really great that you mentioned Dre, and I couldn't be happier than to see Dre play better because he has tremendous potential. And if we can ever get him to be that beast inside, he's going to be a force to be reckoned with. So.
Well, don't sell yourself short. We're looking for big stuff from your class, Justin. Thanks for the time, and best of luck down the stretch of this season.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Justin Riley in the red and blue back out on the floor with the lead 39-30 over the big green. Stan Pavlik alongside here in Hanover, New Hampshire. We're going to take a look at that first half box seat. What do you see?
Well, first half is a great interview. I can't speak that well now. I'm pretty impressed with Justin Riley.
Well, there's really not much to show in the stat sheet other than Penn greatly out-rebounded the big green 27-14. And Ryan Grandbury was the leading rebounder. And Harrison Gage wasn't far behind with 5 rebounds. Neither team shot very well from either the foul line or the field. It was really the play of Kevin Iggy who came on with 11 points. That full court layup that he made with 3 three-pointers. Particularly the last one, which was tremendously, it was really timely. He came right after a Dartmouth point that I think was the big part of the first half.
Through the Penn Quakers, the last 3 games, including tonight, their 3-point shooting has shown signs of coming around after they really struggled in that area to start the season. They were 9 of 17 from beyond against Brown last Friday, and then 4 of 11. Okay, that's okay against Yale the next night, but so far tonight, 6 of 8. Dartmouth with the ball from left to right, trailing 10 by 9, 39-30 underway here in the second. Fitzgerald on the far left block, backing in, ducks under Schreiber, stuffed by Dre, and Dre corrals the loose ball. The other way, Bernardini along the near left sideline, top of the arc, Dre steps top of the key, far right point to Grand Erie. Eggleston, top of the arc, to the foul line, stops Dre for the triple. Yes, it is good. Nothing but the bottom for Andreas Schreiber.
It was like the first half. That's exactly how it started out, with a great shot by Schreiber.
The Penn Quakers have shot themselves back to their largest lead of the night at a dozen, 42-30, with 19:15 to go. Fitzgerald flooded by Schreiber, and he can't go anywhere. To his right, underneath, it pops out as Andreas brings down another rebound. Iggy trying to get rid of ball, stops the top of the arc. On the left baseline, Schreiber the jumper off the back of the iron. The rebound is brought in by Barnett.
Penn got off to a good start with that three-pointer. Let's play really good defense now.
Ball blocked by Schreiber. Iggy, it's loose underneath, out of bounds, off the big green. So, Stan, the story in this one is the Quakers, as Terry Dunn takes a timeout for the big green. The Quakes got out to an 8-0 spurt to open this game. They were up 10-2 before the big green worked themselves back into it. And now the Quakers, they get a couple deposits coming out of the break.
It's amazing to me. I looked at the stats, but I didn't realize how well they did shoot from the three-point line. So there's another one that says they're basically 7-9 from the three-point line. Well, to give you an example of how important that shot is, you know, in college basketball today, that's pretty much what got them their lead.
Schreiber now 5 of 24 from the perimeter. Dre, when he gets that stroke spark, it looks very good. The turnarounds fall. We saw that against Cornell. The three-pointers go down. You can appreciate a big fella that can step out and hit.
It's one of those, like, oh, no.
Way to shoot the ball.
You know what I mean? It was like, don't take another one of those.
5 for 24. But you know what? He's got confidence that he can make it or he wouldn't take a shot.
The Penn Quakers saw their streak of 24 straight wins at home in conference play snapped last Friday against Brown. And while this is a young, developing team, they are certainly aware, as is the coaching staff, of the history, the tradition that has comprised the program's Ivy League dominance since 1955 when the league formally formed, and they took it personally, and they seem like they come out with a little bit of a spunkin' attitude tonight.
I think Glenn Miller really lets them know that it's a privilege to play basketball at Penn. And these kids will get there. They will.
Lynn Blue from right to left with the ball. They had a three-pointer to start the second stanza, courtesy of Andreas Schreiber. In the far right corner, Graham Dury, blanketed by Mosley. Top of the arc, Eggleston trying to fight past Sanders. Underneath, great looking, reversing right. It pops out, and there's Drake for the jam. Stuffing it in the 10. 44-30 Quakers with 18:24 to go.
There's not a guy in the Ivy League other than him that can make a play that's fantastic. He has great spring in his leg, and you just wonder, you know, do it again right away.
Andreas Schreiber, as you heard Justin Riley say, scouting his sophomore classmate very well at the halftime, that he has unlimited potential, and he just want to see the beast awaken within Dre. Barnett right side of the lane, and he can't jack the jumper. Dre tips the rebound over his shoulder, tried to fight back for it, and it's knocked out of bounds, and now the refs have a disagreement over the call. One official, Jeffrey Anderson, said that it was out of bounds off Dre, but then Jeffrey Smith said it was a foul on Dre, just his second.
You're allowing a lot of banging to go on inside, and there's no question that Schreiber did commit a foul.
The Quakers just 16 fouls in the first half to Dartmouth's 8. But the Quakers, a shaky 5-10 from the stripe. Dartmouth 3-5. At the far left point, Barnett, top of the arc, to Devon Mosley, left high post, the ball, who backs it out to the perimeter. Sanders rolls it right block to Fitzgerald to his left, and he can't hit the hook shot. Another rebound for Dre.
That's one of the things that's helping Penn, that he cannot, Fitzgerald can't succeed inside.
Interior pass from the far right corner, Bernardini seeking Eggleston, and Jack manages to draw the foul on Alex Ball.
Penn's been on the reverse of that so many times, Brian, where the ball goes inside to the post, and they're unsuccessful scoring. Well, Fitzgerald's been unsuccessful three consecutive times.
Iggy off the inbound to Grand Erie baseline. Off the rim, no good. Dre keeps it alive. It deflects to Iggy off the palm of ball, but Iggy backs it out. A lot of intensity from Andreas Schreiber so far here tonight, especially on the defensive side. Bernardini at the near left point. Right high post, Dre. Feeling it, it falls from 16 feet away. Andreas Schreiber is warming up.
Maybe he should shoot his fast shots with that little jumper.
Andreas Schreiber, he has 13 points tonight for the Quakers. Ball hands off to Sanders. The Quakers 46-30 with 16:48 to go. And there is Sanders on the left side of the lane. 3 minutes and 15 seconds going by here in the second. Finally, the first field goal for the Big Green.
I think he played really good defense that time. Sanders was really lucky to make that shot with his left hand off the board.
Iggy standing beneath the brand new Dartmouth B logo in the middle of the floor. Bernardini foul line, and it's an air ball as he had a hand in his face as Fitzgerald just watches it drop out of bounds.
There's a time when Tyler comes off that pick. If he comes off the control and just head fakes, that guy's flying through the air, he basically can drive his way to the basket very easily.
Penn, as it was deflected, they have the ball on the far right baseline. Iggy inbounds to Bernardini, who rips down the pass as it sailed through the hands of Dartmouth's Devon Mosley. Iggy for three, around the rim and out. Barnett brings down the ball, and he's fouled above the rim. That could either go against Jack Eggleston or Andreas Schreiber, but Andreas records his third crime. That is the second for the Red and Blue.
I have to learn when there's a rebound that the opponent has gotten cleanly. Don't go after the ball. You know what I mean? Go after the ball before the rebound has been gathered.
Redding Lapel with 2 points, 3 boards, an assist, a turnover, and a steal in 11 minutes in the first half on the floor for Dre. Joe McKinney, a bullet pass on the left block to Barnett with Eggleston in his face, turns around, can't get it to fall, rebound through the hands of Otell, then he tightropes the baseline and brings it in. Iggy feeds it far side, Grand Erie kicks it near left corner, for three, Bernardini, yes! It falls for the Penn freshman, 49-32, Penn's perimeter production exceptional, fouled the other way, Devon Mosley as the ball goes out of bounds.
And what a great pass that time. Across the court, he had the three himself, but he gave it up to Bernardini, who he thinks is a better three-point shooter.
Tyler with 3 triples, give him on the night 11 points, and talk about a fascinating story, Sam. Tyler Bernardini, after the game tonight, 18-year-old kid, he's going to meet his grandfather face-to-face for the first time. His grandfather lives in Montpelier, Vermont, and part of his family is going to be coming up tonight. And he spoke to his granddad when he was 12 years old, but I was speaking with Tyler today, and he said he's going to meet him in a face-to-face meeting for the first time this evening. And I said, well, is that going to be before the game or after the game? And he said, it's going to be after. So I'm like, you're going to play through this whole game, and he's going to be in the stands? You're not going to know. He's really excited for that, and he's having a solid game so far tonight.
I can understand why that would excite you if you don't know your grandfather. Being your grandfather,
I hope my granddaughter always knows me and remembers me.
Now, that's to be very exciting so far. He's playing very well. He's made some threes. So Grandpa's got something to be proud of.
Tyler Helen from Carlsbad, California, the same hometown of former Penn Quaker Eric Osmondson. And obviously with granddad over on the East Coast, it doesn't always work out. So Tyler anticipating that very special meeting after the game. But there's still 15 minutes, 48 seconds to go in the second half. The Penn Quakers leading Dartmouth by 17 points, 49-32. A lot of outside production from Penn as Sam is inbounds to Barnett in the far left corner. Eyed down by Brennan Botel. Barnett, the right-handed runner, and he lays it in the cup.
My comment was going to be we were keeping Barnett in check as he hits his jumper.
Well, take a look at him, and he averages 16.5 points a game. He only has six so far. Eggleston, left side of the lane at the foul line. Botel, long jumper around the rim, and then it bounces down for Brennan. Brennan is on the board.
He's playing like he's been out here every game for 20, 22 minutes.
Brennan has desperately wanted to get back out on the floor. The minutes haven't worked out. There he stuffs Graber, and the ball goes to Gaines. 10 by 51-34 Grand Erie. The runner with the left hand falls on the left side. It is through the red and blue for the second game in a row, mounting a sizable run. The Penn Quakers out of the half, out of intermission, they have outscored Dartmouth 14-4.
That was a rare fast break opportunity. Ryan Grand Erie, remember what I said, he made a great catch.
Feet inside, Graber can't get the rattle to roll home. It was a great look by Barnett. But no breaks for the big green. Gaines, a crossover fake, Graber out of his shoes. Can't finish. It's tapped around and out of bounds off of Dartmouth on the near left baseline.
Now that was funny. Gaines made that little dribble, and Graber was actually looking for him.
He was.
Didn't know where he went.
He totally was fooled, and now he will hang his head as he heads to the bench.
He hasn't had a good day. He really hasn't.
Clive Wooten in for the big green. Off the inbounds. Grand Erie got it. From 13 feet away, Brian Grand Erie, the last four for Penn. For the Quakers, he has nine, and another break needed by Terry Dunn of the Big Green as the Penn Quakers have mounted a 21-point edge, 55-34, with 14:26 to go.
Brian Grand Erie, isn't it interesting how you almost don't see him, and then all of a sudden when they need him, or even now, you know, he's going to get four or five baskets just because they don't pay attention to him. He's a real smart player. But I'm most impressed with that pass he made cross court to Tyler Bernadine. When he had the three, he gave it up.
Brennan Brumpty said before the Temple game earlier this year, the conversation we heard from him, that Brian Grand Erie, he was telling the Owls before the game, Brian Grand Erie is not going to be the best athlete you see out on the floor. He's probably the best basketball player in terms of his mind, how he thinks the game. Smart, smart player. Big Green with the ball, down a big deficit by 21, 55, 34, all Quakes here in the second stanza with 14, 15 to go. Pulling up the three is Mosley, and he can't drill it from deep. Whedon wrestling with Botel, and Brennan is upset that he was called for his first personal foul. Quakers there third here in the second.
They've been doing a great job keeping Dartmouth off the offensive board. Got to continue to do that.
Leading off the inbounds, top of the arc, Sanders free for a three, and he can't drill it from deep. And there's a foul underneath committed by the Big Green. That will be Dartmouth's second team foul here in the second. And it will go against Clive Whedon.
And Dartmouth right now can't throw the ball into the snowstorm instead of the air.
Dartmouth in this game, 14 of 45 from the field. That means they are just 2 of... Let me do my quick math. 11 here in the second. Bernardini, far right corner. Tyler looking to pitch it on the left side of the lane, and it was picked off by the Big Green and Devon Mosley. Mosley weaving his way back up the floor, and now he gets past Tyler. To the paint, stumped by Botel, tough second foul for Brennan.
Tyler doesn't have the quickness to guard those guys off the dribble in the perimeter. We've got to give him a little bit of room, just a little bit of room, because he'll never recover fast enough to play the quick small guards. Right now, Dartmouth has three of them in the game under 6 feet. It's a tough matchup.
Perhaps the only flaw tonight, Stan, really glaringly in Penn's defense, is that they left Dartmouth's best three-point shooter, Mosley, was at the line, open a couple times, and he hit a few threes. But he has 11. He averages 11 per game. Trying to get over that at the foul line right now, and he switches his first foul shot. But Alex Barnett with just 6 points.
Yeah, well, certain lineups that Penn has is going to create matchup difficulties for Penn. You know, there's a few guys that can't match up with good, small, quick guards, and they'll have to learn to do better at that, you know, over time.
As Sanders, pardon me, Mosley, hits on his second, making it 55-36, 10 by a hearty 19 with 13:36 to go.
I'm surprised that Dartmouth hasn't decided to put some pressure on him.
Mitchell, to his left, flicks it in the 10 from 8 feet away, and look across the floor at the Penn bench. They are loving the output by Big Cliff.
They're saying, who is this guy?
Well, the guys on the team, they work so hard and practice with one another every day, and when you see one of those guys who are a little bit farther down the bench get some significant minutes, it's always a good feeling. Barnett hangs in the air, can't hit the hook, and now the red and blue are running. Gaines crashes the hole all the way, stuffed by Barnett. It goes out to Votel. His pass is deflected. Clive Reed brings it down, and maybe Gaines will settle down a little bit. We see him take it to the rack. The other way, Mosley way too strong on the side. He tracks down his own rebound in the near corner. This Dartmouth resets the 57-36 game. 21 points, Penn with the lead. Barnett passes, picked off by a leaping Engelson as he falls over the Dartmouth trainer. He's on his feet, back into the game. Joe McKinney can't hit the three on the near right wing as it is completely chaos on the court. Knocked out of bounds off the shoelaces of Harrison Gaines, but Jack Engelson flew into one of Dartmouth's managers, literally torpedoed him, but he's back on his feet.
He's actually helping out Harrison Gaines, who got a bad matchup on Barnett. But going back to the previous play, Gaines went wire to wire throughout the floor, beat his man, but Barnett came, hustled back, and made the block.
Off the inbounds, Joe McKinney, way too strong, and he's found the process of shooting. If he was, I would say, a little bit, just a little bit anxious to get that shot off.
Well, when you're 5'11 and you're under there, you better be anxious, or you're gonna, you know, you're gonna eat fault.
Michael Joe McKinney is at the foul line. He had 12 points against Penn back on the 2nd of February. All in the second half, all up threes. And his first free throw is around the rim, and it rolls out.
Not correctly. You know how old I am. Is it Spalding anymore, or is it Wilson?
I want to say these are Spalding, because he lays the brick as Joe McKinney, at 79.4% free throw shooter, misses for just the 8th and 9th times this year. Riley, the reserve forward into the game for the red and blue. Good look to Eggleston, right block. Kick out Riley, top of the arc. Near left point game. Top of the key. 3-for-3, Eggleston. Drains it from deep. Jack Eggleston, 5 points. 60-36. Quakes have opened it up big time.
I'll give Riley credit for a great screen to free up Eggleston. Said a good one, and Eggleston had all the time in the world to drill that three.
Barnett blasting far left baseline, feeds in the lane to Weed and wills his way inside for the deuce. Weed records his first point. A full court press picked up by Dartmouth. Consequently, it is Brandon Ware fouling Harrison Gaines. 11:47 remaining in regulation. Timeout on the floor to score. The Quakers having that lead, 60-38 over Dartmouth. It's Quaker basketball on Sports Radio 950. This is the Penn Sports Network.
Sports Radio 950. WPEN. Philadelphia. Home of the NCAA tournament and the Final Four.
Everyone knows about Aquafina water, but not everyone knows about the variety of flavored water beverages. First, you have Aquafina Flavor Splash, which is like football. Big bunch of tough guys tackling each other. Actually, it's nothing like that. It's pretty much the exact opposite of that. Flavor Splash has a refreshing fruit flavor, not big or tough, but they both begin with the letter F, so there you go. Next is Aquafina Sparkling, which is like soccer. Two teams running down the field, both chasing after one little round ball. And Aquafina Sparkling is carbonated, so it has bubbles, and bubbles around just like soccer balls. And last, there's the low-calorie Aquafina Alive, which is like baseball. Oh, excitement of watching a home run. Got to be in pretty good shape to hit a homer. Sometimes it takes a little something extra, a boost, that comes in a bottle like Aquafina Alive, the drink that has essential vitamins to make you feel good. Aquafina, make your body happy.
.47 to go in the second half from Reed Arena on the campus of Dartmouth College in Hanover, New Hampshire. Alongside Stan Pavlik, Brian Seltzer, 60-38, 10 with the lead with the ball from right to left. And Cornell has outscored Yale, yikes, 18-5 in the second half to take a 54-44 lead. Bernardini kick out Riley. Far right, buries it from beyond. 10 of 13 from the outside.
They're shooting so well, and Riley needed to make a three. That was really good to see.
Joe McKinney blasts along the near right baseline, hits the deck hard, gets the right-handed runner to go. 63-40 with 11-15 remaining.
You can't let anybody that little go to the basket that easily without somebody at least getting a hand up.
Eggleston left block. 1-2. Turns right. Back left. Too strong. Gaines. Offensive rebound goes up. And then he settles it down. He was safe. Got a double dribble, but he backs it out to the far right point. Gaines gets the screen. Top of the arc. Riley. Middle of the floor. Lob inside. And it's batted away by Barnett and sent it for Eggleston.
That pass was up in the defensive player's hands.
Parting the paint is Joe Bikini, but the finger roll is short off the rim. He was wide open. Gaines inside, hands off Riley, deposits the easy deuce. Justin with the last five, giving the Quakers a 25-point edge, 65-40.
I've never seen the Quakers push the ball like this.
Yeah.
It looks great, doesn't it?
Well, we saw a little bit of dictation in the second half against Yale last Saturday, but wire to wire so far, the game's still 10 minutes, 20 seconds to go. This is the most convincing way the Quakers have determined the tempo of the game. As Barnett's runner pops out, he gets his own miss in the lane with the right hand, scoops it in for two.
I mean, if somebody can run with game, that could be very effective offense right there. You get easier shots.
Just 8 points so far for Alex Barnett, who averages double that total per game. And it is Brown, outscoring Columbia 16-4 in the second half. The right-handed runner for Gaines, and he records two.
Yeah, he recorded three steps and 2 points.
Harrison Gaines with 9 points. Left side reversing right is tried for a pair for Dartmouth. 67-44, back and forth we go as Kevin Iggy is fouled by Robbie Tried on the far right side.
Well, both teams now have kind of forgotten about defense. They're just letting each other score at will, and Penn has to stop that. You got to play good defense throughout the entire game. You just can't give up layups.
Tyler Bernardini takes a seat on the Penn sidelines as Tyler, for the game, has 11 points. Tyler now in double figures, pardon me, Stanton, the 13th time this year.
He shoots the ball well. He looks good.
Off the inbound, Iggy, far side right, connects from the outside. The Penn Quakers, the 11th three-pointer, 11 from 14 from the outside, and because of that, they're up big time, 70-44. 12 for Iggy, and hitting the fall away on the far left wing, it is Elgin Fitzgerald. He has six.
And Coach T. Glenn Miller is going to try to play Harvard in this gym tomorrow night.
Well, if anything, I believe that Harvard has a new floor as well, so maybe it's with the brand new hardwood. Great look, Iggy to Grandeur. He tastefully waits for the deuce on the left side.
Now, there's a man after my own style. He gave me that head fake. The guy went up in the air, and then it's absolutely no problem making the layup.
11 points for Brian Grandeur. 72-46 Penn. Devon Mosley shoots up a shot that's well short for three, and Brian Grandeur with the rebound and a foul committed by Jonathan Ball.
I think Dartmouth has kind of given up on defense a little bit. They're scrambling around, and Penn showing some quickness today that I really haven't seen. I really like the up-tempo.
The Penn Quakers in double digits for three-pointers for the first time this season, 11 for 14 from the perimeter for a team that came into this contest shooting a 29.5% from the outside. They have the ball. There's Brennan Votel on the near left baseline. Works his way in short. And there is Paul for the rebound. And there's Pride tripped up by Kevin Iggy. And there's a foul on the floor by Penn. And it'll go against Kevin Iggy. That'll be his second personal foul. Kevin Iggy, 12 points. That's three shy of national career high. When you take a look at Kevin's, last couple games. He has raised his point per game average by 2.5 since his first start of the season. That was against New Jersey Institute of Technology on the 5th of January. He's gotten an odd 10 out of the last 11.
I like him with games, as we said before.
Yeah.
Games can penetrate, kick it out, and Iggy, when he has time, can make that three-pointer.
Top of the arc ball, 72-46, 10 by 26 with 7:53 to go. Ware trying to have a hole on the right side, blocked by Riley, rejected and into the hands of Gaines. Penn's defense, they've been getting it done tonight. Riley, 3-for-3, top of the arc. Well, that one is no good. Grandieri follows off the back of the box for the deuce. Ryan Grandieri, he now has 13 for the Penn Quakers. From the field, Grandieri shooting 4-5. And they right both line. Fitzgerald gets the ball from around 10 feet away.
It's a nice little pace, Dan.
Yeah,
they're just going up and down and fattening their averages right now.
74-48. Penn well in control with 7:10 to go. Ben Votel, solid minutes in relief for Penn. He feeds it to Riley at the foul line, who lost the ball. He sprawls on the floor with Mosley. And Mosley's going to be flagged for the foul. 7:04 remaining in the second half. Timeout on the floor. The score. Penn in control against Dartmouth. 74-48. Quaker basketball on Sports Radio 950. This is the Penn Sports Network.
And now, let's get back and see Chucklehead Talk Football, presented by Diet Pepsi Max.
Next on the agenda, wear a team jersey or paint the chest. Fill your thoughts. Have to go team jersey. It's so obvious.
Wrong again, smart guy. Paint the chest. It takes passion and artistry to paint the chest.
You're wrong.
No, you are. Anyways, next up, the Wave. Like it or hate it.
I like the Wave.
Me too.
If it were still 1989,
come
the Wave
on.
Is about as cool as acid wash peg jeans.
The Wave is a timeless classic.
You're wrong.
No, you are.
No, you are.
No, you are. Okay, next up, fans were not off of the game.
Inexcusable. I say no to nodding off. Wake up, people.
I agree. Inexcusable.
Wait, we agree?
Why is it inexcusable?
Because they can just have a Diet Pepsi Max with ginseng and more caffeine.
We've got nothing to argue about here.
Well, how do you spell ginseng?
That's obvious. G-I-N-S-I-N-G.
Nice, but you spelled it wrong, Captain Gray Matter.
It's E-N-G.
Sound it out. It's ginseng-ing. You're wrong.
No, you are.
No, you are.
No, you are.
Zero calorie Diet Pepsi Max with ginseng and more caffeine.
Penn Quakers moving with 7:04 to go in the second half. 74-48 is the score. Penn with the ball. Tyler Bernardini will inbound the outside shooting of the Quakers. The story, as far as this season is concerned, an unheard of 11-15, a season high in terms of triples knocked down. A foul away from the play, that is going to be Dartmouth's sixth as a team. And it goes against Devon Mosley again, his second in a row, a frustration foul.
I think Penn has to continue to play good defense. You would think this game is wrapped up, and it probably is, but you want to play good defense in preparation for tomorrow night.
At the far right point, in your right stand, Penn does certainly not have the luxury of lightening up the intensity at all. Penn, as Kevin Inge is wrapped up in a jump ball, sports by Joe Bikini, possession now points Penn's way. Penn is really, up until this past Saturday against Yale, they have had to scrap, claw, grind out just about every game this year. That some they've won, some they haven't won. And for them, they need to feel what it's like to gain the confidence of big wins.
Great. Run your offense. Play good defense, even though you got a 20-point lead.
Look at Grant. Where he flashes some footwork to the right high post, and there is a foul out on the floor as the Big Green are piling it up. That's going to be their 17th foul, and now Penn's going to head to the line.
Yeah, like they say, play like you deserve the lead. You know what I mean? That's what you have to do.
Justin Riley, 5 points all here in the second half. You heard him at the half talking about his big night against the Bulldogs last Saturday, 15-6. In the previous four games before that, he had a total of 14 points and 5 rebounds. If he gets the front end to fall, no doubt about it. You'll have to see Stan Biggs that can hit those foul shots.
He can make his fouls, and the way he takes open threes, he hasn't shown me that he can make them yet, but at some point he must have had a reputation of a pretty good shooter. Because he takes them when he's open, he just hasn't converted enough of them yet.
Riley's second one rattles out. It's 75-48, 10 with 6.5 remaining at Reed Arena. Tomorrow night at Harvard on 88.5 WXPN-FM. near right baseline. Fitzgerald hops up and hits the hook shot. Fitzgerald's had a decent second half. He now has 10 points.
I got to differ with you. He's made them after the lead. He missed five in a row when they needed him.
Yeah. I agree with you on that. Riley turning around, right block, hits the jumper. That one from around 10 feet away, so Riley with good range.
This will be a fun film for the Quakers to watch.
Yes. It'll be an easy bus ride, weather permitting, over to Cambridge. Pride Forside left to Joe Bikini, who had the ball knocked out of his underarm by Brian Grandieri.
So does this make this 4,023?
Yes. Yes, it would make it 4,023 days to get a victory for Dartmouth. And they're going to have to wait about 350 more for another chance. And Fitzgerald's bumping off a Shriver, stepping back. It's an air ball, and Tyler Bernardini jumps up to bring it in before it hits the rim. Iggy to Bernardini. Top of the arc, takes three. Hotel the top of the arc now. Rolls it to Shriver, reaching him, nearly picking it off. Is Ronnie Dixon. Grandieri twists inside, tacks on two on the left block.
Oh, he's salivating right now because he's got a little guy playing him. He's getting every layup that you could possibly get. I love it.
Oh, ball is going to draw the foul. It's like he could have taken one step too many. And that one will go against Brendan Votel. He really didn't have a choice. He has three, but 6 points off the bench. That is a season high, surpassing the 5 points total he had against Howard, and that was all the way back on November the 17th.
Yeah, more importantly than those points, he put meaningful minutes defensively, got a lot of nice rebounds in the first half, and did a really good job.
Ball hits the free throw as Brian Grandieri heads to the bench. On the night, Brian Grandieri with 15 points for Penn. 79-51, the Quakes on top by 28 with 5 1/4 to go. As Ball is a smooth shooter from the line, Golden on that trip. And Stan, as Penn has the ball from right to left, I think Andreas Schreiber's defensive intensity to start off the second half really set the tone.
Oh, yeah, he could be very strong inside, and as long as he doesn't pick up some fouls, he could stay around and really help. He's a powerful force.
Votel at the far right point, pinned there by Bull, who's not giving him any room to breathe. A whistle away from the play, and Michael Katz, who has just recently inserted into the game, commits the crime. That is the eighth against Penn as a team.
Back to Shriver. I don't think I've seen a stronger guy in the league. You know what I mean? He's a stronger, and he jumps higher than any other big guy, too.
Yeah. Dre, as the season has gone along, has really seemed to feel a little bit more comfortable. Here's Dixon, draws the foul and roots to the rack on the right side as Jay sprung up there and really swatted him out aside another shot.
They probably, that was a dangerous block. We wouldn't want a goaltending call at this point in the game.
But the good news is that at this point in the game, with 4:42 to go, the Penn Quakers up handily 79-52. A quick update on the Abner's out-of-town scoreboard. Bad news for Penn fans is Ronnie Dixon drilled his first for his first point of the game. Princeton 57-51 leading Harvard with 4:04 to go in the second. Brown is opening up against Columbia 55-40. As Dixon strokes his second, and then look at this, Cornell outscoring Yale. That's remarkable. 27-10 in the second half for a 63-49 lead. It's really incredible that James Jones has not been able to get the Bulldogs to play at all this year. Top of the arc, Votel, near sideline, left to Shriver. Kick out Iggy, top of the key. Bernardini at the far right point to Shriver, back above the arc in the middle of the floor. He pounds his way through the paint. He runs over Ball. And that is going to be an offensive foul.
And that's the one thing you don't want to see Andrew Shriver doing, and that's put the ball on the floor and go into the basket out of control. He's got a nice jump shot. Pull up and take the jump shot.
Shriver with 12-8. Like to see him get his first career double-double, playing now with 4 personal fouls. At the near right point, it's Dixon, top of the arc to Ball. Far left corner, Joe Bikini can't jack up the three. He's ice cold from the outside. Andreas, he did get a rebound. He now is 12-9. Catch, springs up left side, weaves his way to the bucket. No call, no bounce on the rim. And there Andreas is going to pick up his fifth personal foul. That was a tough break because it seemed like there could have been contact on catch. As Dre, tough breaks for the big fella. He's going to go to the bench, but even though there's 3:53 to go. A very effective night for Andreas.
He had a great game. Made a couple jumpers early in the half to get things started nicely, but the officials now are thinking about wiping the snow off their cars and getting home. They're not making any calls unless it's an absolute battery. Right, I'm sorry. I was interested in the backcourt rotation today. A little different. We haven't seen Aaron Cohen at all. And it's a shame for Aaron Cohen, because I think he's played well recently. But I think having a pattern of rotation is really important. I think the guys know that are playing well for you, that they're going to get the minutes that they deserve.
We will discuss on the other side. Time to pay some bills. 3:53 left in the second. Time out on the floor. The score 79-54. Penn in control here on Sports Radio 950, the Penn Sports Network.
Cedalia, what do you love about Keto the Mexican Grill?
I love the taco salad.
It's fast, fresh.
Burritos, quesadillas, tacos.
Five sauces.
Yeah. I got to the point that if I had to eat something one more time that wasn't good for me, just because I was in a hurry, I was going to go crazy. And I found Qdoba, and I'm hooked.
Yeah, you can get free for a month straight to get something different every day.
Everybody can make what they want, and
that's a good burrito.
That's what I love.
That's what I love about Qdoba. Qdoba Mexican Grill. Hundreds of original flavors you won't find anywhere else. Only fast, fresh, and right in front of you. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
Penn fans, if it's enhanced coverage of the Quakers you crave, then sign up for the Red and Blue resource that provides it, the Penn Sports Network. Exclusive access to live and on-demand video and audio webcasts of football, men's and women's basketball, wrestling, volleyball, and more, all available on PennAthletics.com. There's also the Penn Men's Basketball Weekly Podcast, taking you inside the program with insight from head coach Glenn Miller every episode. Select the package that suits your Penn passion best. Register online at PennAthletics.com. .53 to go in the second half. Michael Joe Bikini at the line for the Dartmouth Big Green. And he comes up empty on his first. It's 79-54. That's what the score remains. Another one on the way for Joe Bikini, and he lays another one off the front of the rim. He came into this game as an 80% free throw shooter, and he's 0-for-4 from the line as Bernardini has relief in Kevin Iggy. And there's a foul on the floor, getting tied up with Brent Botel. It is Matt Chizik, who didn't play last weekend due to injury.
Well, Coach Dunn has emptied his bench right now, and you can see a lot of fouls and a lot of quick shots for the last 3:45 of the game. And here comes Robbie Fries. He sounds like he came from Kentucky, doesn't he? Had to play. He should play at the University of Kentucky.
Yeah.
That name.
Bren Votel at the stripe. He has six. The front end goes for Big Bren, having himself a night with 7 points and 3 rebounds. He's looking for another more to give him 8. It's on the way for Brennan. It is good as he cans a couple from the foul line. 81-54, the Quakers by 27, all over Dartmouth with 3:40 to go. Andreas Schreiber, he fouled out, his second foul out of the season. Pardon me, his third, but Dre was 12-9 in this game. Really ignited the Quakers coming out of the break. Underneath, Edelson picks off the pass, deflects it to Brennan. Iggy ahead to Bernardini over his shoulder. It doesn't fall. Tapping it in for two is Jack Edelson, who didn't give up. He has in this game 7.
Tyler's got to go a little harder to the basket, not shy away from contact. Make that layup.
Blake Williams bounds his way into the lane as Michael Katz. It's flag for the foul, reaching and grabbing on Blake Williams. That's the 10th team foul for the Quakers. And as you were talking about, Aaron Cohen having a tough time getting into this game with the performance of Kevin Iggy. 12 points in the contest, all from the outside. Harrison Gaines doing his thing. As Blake Williams can't get the bounce, he's now 0-for-5 on his career as the freshman from Orono, Minnesota. From the stripe is Bernardini and Iggy go out. To a nice hand from the Quaker crowd, yes, that is in attendance. I'd say there's maybe 15 or 20 strong in the red and blue section.
You can count on those people coming up almost every Penn game and probably have done it for the last 15 years, I think.
Missing it is Williams, offensive rebound for the Big Green. With 3 minutes to go, it remains 83-54. Quakers by 29. To the far left corner, Matt Chizik, standing tall at 6'7". At the foul line, Chizik, a fader won't go. Cohen collects the caramel on the far side of the floor. The Penn Quakers are going to bring in the last senior who needs to see action tonight. And that is, of course, Joe Gill, the Doyle Sam PA product out of Germantown Academy. Cohen off balance, short on the shot. Rebound tapped out, and it goes to Robbie Fry. Fry blasts back the other way, draws the foul on Harrison Gaines. So it will be two shots coming for Robbie Fry with 2:29 to go. 83-54, Penn in the lead. And here comes Danny Munson, the freshman out of Glenview, Illinois, seeing his first contest since Temple on the 24th. As Pride punches in his first on the night. Pride, that's his first point. And Joe Gill on the floor for the Quakes.
And the over-under on possessions before Aaron Cohen took a shot was one.
Pride's second one is a twist. He has two. On the floor for the Quakes, Joe Gill, along with Connor Turley, Aaron Cohen, Jenny Munson, and Brendan Votel. Gill to foul line. Kick out Turley near side left. Brennan on the left block. Stepping back for the deuce around the rim, and it rolls out. Rebound goes to Williams.
It's really a nice move that Brendan has in there. He's still a step-back jumper. He looks very smooth taking that shot.
He's playing with a bounce in his step, as he should, with 8 points, a season high. Rumbling inside is Fitzgerald on stage. For the deuce, 83-58, a minute 55 to go. Xavier Cohen hands off to Gill. Gill scoring the first field goal of his Quaker career earlier this season underneath Turley, left side, twisting, reversing, and he's blocked underneath by Fitzgerald. So Connor Turley, whose dad Doug is in the stands, making the trip out from the left coast, will head to the foul line.
I'm sure his dad's glad to see him get some minutes. He made a little reverse layup that time, got the shot blocked, but was fouled. Let's see if he can convert the free throws.
Turley on the season, 15 of 21 from the foul line. And his first one is good for the right-handed rookie. He got in against Yale last Saturday. That's after he hadn't played his previous five games. He had 11 consecutive appearances before that.
Well, he did get some minutes in the first half, where he did a pretty nice job defensively.
Curry, a perfect Swiss on his second, 85-58. A commanding, a resounding 27-point edge for the Red and Blue with a minute 37 to go. What a response for Penn, coming off their second largest victory of the year last Saturday, keeping the momentum going to start off the second half of the Ivy League season. Williams fronted by Gill on the right block. He has Whedon, the hook shot with the left hand, and he drains it, making it 85-60 with 80 seconds to go.
I know Coach Miller has to be really happy going in tomorrow. His kids got rest tonight.
Here for three. Good from the far right point. Joe Gill finding his stroke. The senior turning it on.
Doesn't that make him two for two?
Responding on the other end is Clive Whedon for the deuce on the baseline. 88-62 with 57 seconds to go. Joe Gill, he is a perfect two for two from the outside. Joe Gill on the season with 14 total points, surpassing the amount he had in his career, and he misfires wide to the right. Just a little wide to the right on that one for Joe. The runner from Williams, no good. Danny Munson soars in for the rebound. 32 seconds to go. A run out to Gill in the near left corner, and he lost the ball with 29 and 9-tenths of a second left. And Joe Gill's dad, Joe Sr., sitting in the stands. He lives in Philly, so he made that treacherous trek through all this weather up here and to see Joe Jr. jack one up for three.
Is that a great chance, though, you know, when your kid doesn't get a lot of minutes?
Munson with the steal. It's a one-on-three. He had his pocket pick from behind out of bounds with 17 and a half seconds to go. The Penn Quakers are going to improve to 5-3 in conference competition. They have an 88-62 edge over Dartmouth.
And with the ball. Glenn gave the sign, don't shoot the ball, but I don't know if that's going to happen. Yep, they caught it. They're going to run out the clock and go in as a 24-26-point winner.
Joe Gill is going to hang on. He kicks it across the court to Turley with 5 seconds left. 4, 3, 2, and 1. Joe Gill, this senior, savors the sweet sound of the horn as the Penn Quakers, in commanding fashion, collect Ivy League victory number 5, 88-62, dumping Dartmouth, sweeping the season series.
That could bring them ahead of Columbia right in the standings tonight.
It could. Columbia down by, it looks like, 13 points with 2:17 to go. The second red and blue road victory of this 2007-2008 campaign could not have come at a more critical time, as everyone, Penn could do no wrong tonight, really, Stone.
Well, you know, I think they did a good job here. They had a convincing victory. They took a halftime lead, and instead of letting Dartmouth get back in the game, they took that lead up to another level, and they showed something that I really haven't seen a lot of this year, and that was pushing the ball off the court, and they benefited by it with a lot of easy baskets.
They held Alex Barnett, one of the top scorers in the Ivy League, to just 8 points. That is half of his regular game average. Here's another intriguing storyline to look at as we're about to get started with the Red and Blue Rewind Comcast Sportsnet postgame show. This is the start of the second half of the Ivy season, as we talked about. Brad Miller looked like he made some adjustments to get started with him. Last time, Kenneth Tate getting a lucky break. This time, no doubt about it.
I still, like I said in a pre-game show, I still see that ball sitting on the rim. I was waiting for it to either fall in or fall out. Penn was fortunate it fell out. And I think today they played a lot better. I think he's finding his way with his players. And I think that the Iggy Harrison game combination is a real fine point guard combination. Playing them both at the same time and Paolo Bernardini at the free position, I think that's their best lineup.
As I look now on ESPN.com, as we have the scoreboard up, and also for the stat thing here at Dartmouth, the final score says 9-62. Who was 88-62?
That's what the scoreboard says.
Yeah, that was, maybe they didn't credit the Quakes for a bucket, but it looked like it was 88-62. So maybe we'll give you the final. Who knows? 90-62, 88-62. It's a panel win. Who cares?
We'll give what you only think of the stats.
Sports Chatter on Sports Radio 950 is going to be coming up in a little bit, but first the Red and Blue Rewind Comcast Sportsnet postgame show underway after this on Sports Radio 950. This is the Penn Sports Network. Penn fans, Penn's basketball continues its Northern Trek tomorrow. They hit Harvard. Tip time set for 7 p.m. The pregame show starts at 6:45 on 88.5 WXPN FM. Next weekend, the Red and Blues road run rolls on. They stop at Yale Friday and Brown Saturday. The Quakers' final homestand is coming up March 7th against Cornell and March 8th versus Columbia. To order tickets, call the Penn Athletics Ticket Office at 215-898-6151. That's 215-898-6151. Or log on to PennAthletics.com.
Hi there. Welcome to Philly's. My name's Ashley. What are you up for today?
I'm going to try your triple the cheese smokehouse bacon burger.
Because my kids ask me so many questions, all of my thoughts start with the word because.
Excellent.
Are you stuck in a rut? Pepper in some fun with one of Chili's new Smokehouse Bacon Burgers. They're mammoth-sized burgers with something a little extra. We're talking the thickest, tastiest cut of applewood smoked bacon you've ever seen. Only at Chili's. Pepper in some bacon. Pepper in some fun.
Picking up where the action left off, it's Red and Blue Rewind, presented by Comcast Sportsnet. Now bringing you a complete recap and reaction from coaches and players, and analysis of the final set. Back to Vince Curran and Brian Seltzer.
No big man in Hanover tonight. A privilege to be sitting alongside Big Five Hall of Famer Sam Pavel. As this is on TV assignment, as the Red and Blue Rewind Comcast Sportsnet postgame show gets underway, as the Dartmouth stat crew is still reviewing and double-checking all of the buckets scored in this game to make sure what the final score was. The scoreboard here at Lead Arena Stadium showed 88-62 Panic. The official scorebook, the digital display that we have here, 90-62. Regardless, Penn came out of victory. They now have 2 wins in a row, their second road win. They're 10-15 on the year, 5-3 in the Ivy League. It could be in third place by the time this night is out.
It's fantastic. I'm thrilled to have the ability to do this game, because the last 2 games that I did, as we said, were Temple and St. Joe, and to see Penn put a lead out. I mean, they did everything that they had to do to look like they could be competitive in the next 3 games. And I think if they can get out of this four-game road trip with at least 3 wins, it'll mean a lot to these players.
Yeah, it is. You can see their confidence growing and building. We'll give you all the stats when they go final. We'll give you some numbers. But first, the out-of-town scoreboard brought to you by Abner's Cheesesteaks of University City on the corner of 38th and Chestnut. An overtime tilt between Princeton and Harvard. The final score, though, here officially now, 88-62.
You had it right.
It was a game in which the Dartmouth staff crew also showed that Mark Soller, E.B. Jabber, Steve Danley were in the game, but I'll tell you what, after last year when Penn just barely got out of here with a two-point win, this was a person who handled themselves better in Hanover.
It was fantastic. Look, they had Penn had very balanced scoring, even though it looked like Zoller scored some points. and they did a good job defensively. They prevented Dartmouth from getting easy baskets inside. And I think more than anything else, they did a great job rebounding. Schreiber just controlled both boards, and Grandieri had 7 rebounds in the first half.
So the Abner's out-of-town scoreboard, 68-61, Harvard over Princeton in overtime as the Crimson have collected 7 straight in the extra period. It was 29-26 Tigers at the intermission. Harvard outscored them obviously by 3 in the second to force OT, so that one winding down with 2.5 to go in the extra stanza. With a minute 11 to go in Morningside Heights, the Brown Bears bolted out to erupt in the second half. They're outscoring Columbia in the second period 38-19 after they were down 4 after the first, 67-52 to score there. As Brown is in line to improve to 7-2 in the Ivy League, Columbia will drop to 5-4, and via that, Penn will sneak its way into third. Yale also letting one get away like Columbia did, as Yale was ahead of Cornell 39-36 at intermission. Cornell outscoring them 45-21 at home. 81-60 is the score. Now, Brown is going to win this game if they hadn't over Columbia. If Brown had been swept this weekend and Cornell had won both of their games, that would have put Cornell in position to at least get a tie for the Ivy League title. But Cornell is going to improve to 9-0, and the Elks look to 4-5. And right here at Lead Arena in Hanover, New Hampshire, 88-62, the Penn Quakers get their second away victory of the year, and they improve to 5-3 in the conference, 10-15 overall. On the other side, Sam Pavlik and I, we will recap the final stats, name our Smokey Joe's play of the game, and give you a listen to some of the sounds of this contest right here on the Red and Blue Rewind Comcast Sportsnet post-game show on Sports Radio 950. This is the Penn Sports Network.
Some basketball fans. Nobody does silly sports better than Comcast Sportsnet. Tune in to Sports Night every night at 6:30 and 10. I catch the latest highlights, news, scores, and updates on all of your favorite teams. Even after the games go off, the game goes on. Comcast Sportsnet. Nobody does silly sports better. We're all concerned about the cost of health care. There's a company that's made a serious commitment to doing something about it. That's United Healthcare. And they provide plans designed to offer more for your money. United Healthcare makes it easy to get the care you need, when and where you need it. The plans provide access to more than 520,000 healthcare professionals nationally, including more than 21,000 in Pennsylvania alone. The consumer-driven health plans, CDHPS, cost less money up front, but they don't give you less. These plans come with online tools and wellness programs that can help you get and stay healthy and save on your coverage. And as a United Healthcare member, you receive discounts not offered by traditional insurance, like a LASIK eye surgery, health club memberships, and more. United Healthcare, healing healthcare together. Find out more at unitedhealthcare.com. United Healthcare Services Incorporated. Insurance coverage provided by or through United Healthcare Insurance Company or its affiliates.
Penn will not be dancing the night away. They will be driving the night away over to Cambridge, Massachusetts after an 88-62 triumph in very convincing fashion for their largest victory of the year over the Dartmouth Big Green in Hanover, New Hampshire, alongside Stan Pavlik, Brian Seltzer, and we're going to give you some sounds from this game, and we'll give you some from the first half and just a few brief ones from the second, because wire to wire, it was really the Penn Quakers, and they got off to a great start. Betsy, we good to go? Okay, that's all right. Just double-checking. There's sports chatters waiting to get into the studio. So the highlights now, the Penn Quakers, they got off to a very strong start. It was capped by this conversion for the Quakers. There's a pass picked off by the Quakers. Grandieri glides down the floor on the far left side. Near side right for three again. Bernardini got it. Tyler Bernardini had 8 of Penn's first 10 at that point. It was an 8-0 Penn lead. But the Dartmouth did green after the Quakers got it to 10-2. They would chip and charge their way back into it. And the Quakers midway through half found themselves in a fight. Grandeering top of the arc, Shriver, who returns to the contest, hands off Iggy. Spots up a three in the tie. Yes, it is good for Kevin Iggy. Kevin Iggy for the Quakers with 12 points in this game, all of them coming from the outside. So that made it 17-17 at that point. And the Red and Blue, though, they managed to gain some momentum going into the break. And this was a big reason why. James to the foul line in traffic. Feeds it far side. Iggy for a three. Good for the Quake. 39-27. And Dartmouth would get a foul and on a bucket and then a free throw from Alex Barnett to make it 39-30 going into intermission. The Penn Quakers, as we have not seen consistently this year, they would do something like starting the first half strong, Stan, and then roaring out of the gate to begin the second.
They were unbelievable. I'm just looking at this stat sheet. It's extremely interesting because this could be a record. Take a guess at how many rebounds Penn has.
You know what? I'm gonna let myself stay in suspense. You can tell
57 rebounds.
That could be record setting.
57-29. They had five players in double figures, led by Brian Grandieri's 15 points. 12 people scored. And another unbelievable stat, 15 from 21 from the three-point strike. Dartmouth, no matter what they did, except play better defense, didn't have a chance with those kind of statistics against them.
An awesome night for the Quakers in this 88-62 victory. This final highlight that you'll hear pretty much made this one a done deal for the Quakers. Blocked by Riley, rejected him into the hands of Gaines. Riley, 3-for-3, top of the arc. Well, that one is no good. Grandieri follows off the back of the box for the deuce. Brian Grandieri, he finished the evening, and this is all unofficial, with 15 and 9 for Brian Grandieri, 3 assists. One of 5 Quakers to finish in double figures, and obviously, Sam, 15-21 from the outside is amazing for Penn. 30 of 80 from the floor. Just so many shots taken in this game. They held Dartmouth to 3 of 10 from the perimeter. And as we try to scramble and get on the bus, I don't want to shortchange the Smokey Joe's player of the game, but if I ask you to make a quick decision, as you take a look at this sturdy laptop computer with all these numbers, what pops out?
Well, it was such a team effort that I'm going to give the Smokey Joe player of the game award to Brennan Votel, who I think came in the game, only scored 4 points and played really good defense on Barnett and was a spark in the first half and made a great jump shot in the second half. I really think he deserves it because probably didn't expect to play a lot of time and did yet such a great job.
You know what? I actually think they shortchanged him.
Yeah, he had to have more.
I had him down for 8 points. So doubly on top of that, what they have down is 4. Brendan Votel with a big night in a reserve role when Cam Lewis, the Quaker center, couldn't make the trip. Brennan knew he was going to get the minutes, stepped up, rose to the occasion. He is the Smokey Joe's player of the game. And if Vince Curran is out there listening somewhere, I'll tell him where it's located and what it is. Smokey Joe's is the Pennstitution, and it's located on 40th Street between Walnut and Locust in the heart of University City. The final score from Hanover, New Hampshire, 88-62. Stan, what do you say we do it again tomorrow?
Wouldn't it be lovely to go out of here with 2 wins and at least sweep Dartmouth and Harvard for the year? And I know Harvard tomorrow, think about it, you know they want to sweep Penn Princeton, and they already have a victory against Princeton, so it's going to be a tough ballgame.
Quickly, 72-67, the final at Harvard. The Crimson knock off the Tigers in overtime. 28 seconds left, 67-52. Brown's going to beat Columbia. And this final from Ithaca, still in control of the race. 9-0 Cornell now with an 85-65 victory over Yale. The next broadcast of Penn Men's Basketball on the Penn Sports Network is tomorrow, Saturday, February 23rd, on 88.5 WXPN-FM. The Quakers conclude this road run through the Great Northeast in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and seek a sweep of the season series with Harvard. The Pepsi pregame show underway at 6:45. Tip time is slated for 7 o'clock. The executive producer of Penn Men's Basketball on the Penn Sports Network is Brian Head. Our studio coordinator, the fabulous, the fantastic, Unsung Hero Award winner of Sports Radio 950, Betsy Deming. And now for my partner, Stan Pavlik. Looking forward to doing it again tomorrow, buddy.
Can't wait. I hope the snow doesn't keep us on the road.
Let's get it going. This is Brian Seltzer saying so long from Lynn Arena, where the Penn Quakers get their second road victory of the year and their fifth in Ivy League play with an 88-62 win big time over the Big Green. Have a great night from all of us here at the Penn Sports Network.
2007-2008 Penn Men's Basketball on the Penn Sports Network has been brought to you in part by Abner's Cheesesteaks of University City, CNA, the Comcast Network, Comcast Sportsnet, Holiday Inn Historic District, Independence Blue Cross, The Inn at Penn and Penn A Restaurant, Chico Energy, the Philadelphia Inquirer and Daily News, Sprint Term, United Healthcare, and World Cafe Live. For extended coverage of the preceding game, log on to PennAthletics.com.